Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
They say when it rains, it pours. It is Thursday. I'm intending to Skype in live during the lunch hour today. I'm taking care of some family things that have come up. Obviously, there is a complete war going on globally against free independent nations and independent individuals and families. There is a biological war against the human unit of men and women themselves, openly declared. This is a biological, chemical, psychological, spiritual, declared war against humanity by the parasitic elite who believe the whole planet just belongs to them. We should just roll over and die. To watch CNN with their fake polls that don't match with any other real polls going, oh, look, the American people trust the media more than Donald Trump, when the U.S. media and Gallup and other polls has a 8 to 9% approval rating lower than Congress. We're talking about mainstream media. I mean, it's just crazy when you go to CNN's homepage. They're like, look at the plastic feminism of Trump's women. Trump's women. Yeah, the plastic feminism of women that are successful, good-looking, rich, involved in their communities. Nothing they ever do is good enough for the globalists and all their simpering hatred. And then just all these articles constantly saying it's time to impeach, it's time to go after Trump. How dare we ever deport anybody that's here illegally? And then Trump keeps explaining we're going to go after criminals that have committed crimes. They just keep saying, no, they're going after this woman at a church. She wants sanctuary. This poor woman, they're going to go after her and her three little kids. They want to hurt her. You know, meanwhile, they just ignore the coyotes murdering people en masse all over the border with the United States and Mexico. It's just crazy. This is the attempt to overthrow reality because they know they got beat. They know all over the planet they're in trouble and nationalism is exploding. And it's a bunch of losers that aren't even part of the power structure that are delusional and think they're losing their power. And then when you're informed, you're watching Trump try to cut taxes for poor people, middle class, try to bring back the corporate tax, you know, try to lower that so that the money comes back here. Globalists set it up to screw us over, trying to bring back our industry and getting the Federal Reserve to begin to move to get local banks to loan to small businesses that are, you know, 80% of the job creators. And then we have the best small jobs numbers and small business numbers since 1984. And other numbers are flooding in, and they're totally angry. They want to manage the economy. They want to dominate people. They crave the control, and they're upset that they don't have full control. I want to thank the amazing crew last night and yesterday who just at the spur of the moment went 13 hours live. Just the people behind the scenes are all the MVPs. I hate to say everybody's an MVP, but it's just true. Every gear in a Switch watch, every part without it doesn't work. And we really are getting more and more professional, more and more focused. I'm probably one of the most unprofessional people, kind of the wild man at the office, and I appreciate everybody putting up with me, and I just love everybody. And then, of course, you, the audience. Again, MVPs. Tip of the spear, spearhead, the shaft of the spear, the arm that throws it, the eye, the brain that sees it, the spirit that, you know, wields it. You are the reason we're able to do this, and we're a long way away from obviously being able to bring back the money that we had for the budget with this ad roll deal, but we've got, you know, months and months to try to do that, and I think we will. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give in, and thank you for not giving up on us right as we see such success. The globalists want to break our will. They want to intimidate us. They want to use us as a chilling effect to stop other free speech, and the big news is we're getting reports. Everybody's scared to say it, but we're getting reports from all over that other big libertarian, nationalistic, conservative sites are also getting banned off the ad networks by AdRoll and others. So this is a very, very serious time of intimidation, but it's because we're winning. So again, I appreciate you all. There's going to be big excerpts of the Ask Me Anything yesterday and excerpts of other folks that were hosting the show yesterday, and David Knight and others are coming up, and I should be live Skyping in at noon. But again, thank you all for your support. We're going to continue the specials on of the next couple days that are huge. So you get great nutraceuticals, great products, and support the broadcast. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. They hate people power. They admit they want to make everybody poor so they can control folks. A lot of times it comes out of Bilderberg and Davos. They're like, how are people in the middle of the Swiss Alps protesting us? We need to crack down on the economy. People have got too much money as they land in their private helicopters and, you know, private jets. So again, this is a free independent media. It's here because you support it. It's here because of everything you've done. And I want to thank you all.
are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
We are live on this February 23rd edition of the Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. I'll be here for the next half an hour. And as Alex was talking about before the break, just we're under sustained attack across the board every single day now. We talked about the Homeland episode yesterday where they smeared Alex Jones, you know, the crazy guy who's half deranged, listens to him on the show. Last night, Colbert Report, Stephen Colbert, another massive hit piece against Alex Jones. It was quite funny, actually, but it again shows you the absolute obsession. You had the New York Times hit piece. Every single day now, there's a giant new hit piece because they know that we're kicking their butts. They're terrified of us. In fact, if you go on my Twitter page right now, as another example of these attacks that we face on a daily basis, they have a Vice magazine article where it's me and Anders Breivik basically saying, because I put out a YouTube video where I was ranting about, you know, crappy reality TV shows, crappy music, junk culture, that means I'm on a par with Anders Breivik, the mass murderer who killed 70-odd people back in 2011, the neo-Nazi. Look at that. I mean, who is creating Vice's graphics now? Not doing a great job there. But again, it's this constant obsessive drumbeat, day after day, hit piece after hit piece. They are absolutely terrified of us right now. And here's another example of that. Whether you want to talk about censorship, which we'll get onto, free speech, security, character assassinations, financial attacks, as we had this week, across the board, we are under sustained attack from these people. And it is vicious, underhanded, and insidious. Breitbart has a headline up right now. Anti-mass migration firebrand Wilders suspends election campaigning after security detail officer arrested. This is, of course, Geert Wilders, the head of the Dutch Freedom Party, PVV, who is set to not win the election, but definitely perform well. His party may get the largest majority in that election coming up here in a couple of months' time. They found a Moroccan-origin Dutch police officer working within his security detail who was leaking information on Geert Wilders' whereabouts to a Dutch-Moroccan criminal organization. Of course, this is a guy who has a target painted on his back constantly because he speaks out against mass immigration, because he speaks out against Islam. He has got so many people who want to see him dead. Now you have someone from within his security detail leaking information about his whereabouts. This was clearly the embryonic stages of a plot to assassinate someone who is probably now Holland's leading politician. Of course, the left will celebrate that. They think it's great to violently attack and assassinate people now because that's tolerant and liberal. But again, that illustrates just the vicious, nasty nature of these people, what they will stoop to. Now you can flip over and talk about the censorship angle of that. And we're going to get onto James O'Keefe in a minute because he's fighting back. But this is out of FT. It's up on Drudge Report. Google launches robo-tool to flag hate speech online. They've launched a new software, Perspective, which is being tested by a range of news organizations, including the New York Times, The Guardian, and The Economist, as a way to help simplify the jobs of human reviewing comments on their stories. So, of course, they still need to keep the comment sections, otherwise their traffic would crater even further. But now they've got this handy tool developed by Google, in the pockets of the deep state, of course, where it will identify, quote, toxic comments and filter them out. This is what the article says, quote, Perspective helps to filter abusive comments more quickly for human review. The algorithm was trained on hundreds of thousands of user comments that had been labeled as toxic by human reviewers on sites such as Wikipedia and the New York Times. It works by scoring online comments based on how they are. The comments are tagged as toxic or likely to make someone leave a conversation. Now, another thing that might make someone leave a conversation is if they get their ass whooped in a debate and lose the debate and scuttle away with their tail between their legs. Or, of course, if they get triggered, if they get offended by a comment, they don't want to respond to it, they just leave the conversation. Not necessarily abusive, is it? But that's the completely vague, subjective pretext on which they're going to censor comments in comment sections. Why are they doing this? Well, we've explained it for many years now, and there's a new article up on Infowars.com which recaps some of that. Why mainstream media websites are censoring and removing comment sections. Now, this is key because it ties into this new Google software. Okay, their trust is plummeting. Trust in media is down at record lows. They're barely trusted more than Congress, and they're losing their ability to control the narrative, especially given studies which show, and I linked to the study in the article, this is proven. Studies show that when people read news articles, then they read the comments below that article, they judge the credibility, the trustworthiness of both the content of the article and the publisher of the article based on the comments. So the comments are more important than the article when people make that judgment. So, of course, they want to censor the comments. And in fact, if you drill down into this study, which we linked up in this article, it says directly that the less civil the tone, the more, quote, toxic, which could mean anything. It basically means a forceful argument. The more forceful the argument, the more likely people are to believe the comments and not the content of the article. So that's why they need to censor comments in articles. Of course, many websites, including Popular Science, have removed them altogether. They just got rid of them, despite the fact that it, you know, bumped off like, what, 30% of their traffic in one go. And if you look at the reason behind why Popular Science did that back a few years ago, and many other websites have done it since, they admitted that they pulled their own comment section so they could preach, quote, a scientific doctrine on global warming without being challenged. So there were just too many inconvenient people in the comments of these Popular Science articles challenging their global warming propaganda. And instead of allowing the people who disagree to debate and for it to be a level playing field, they just announced, we're just going to get rid of comments altogether. Again, because the studies show people judge the credibility, accuracy, and trustworthiness of an article based on the response to it, based on the comments. So they're coming after that now. They're coming after, quote, fake news, of course, not making the distinction that fake news is when people create news out of thin air to make money. It's not someone with a dissenting opinion about a news event, which is how they've tried to spin it. You have Facebook admitting last year they censored the trending list of topics to filter out conservative viewpoints and opinions, to filter out conservative influence on their trending topics list. Twitter just came out with a new policy that said they would censor, quote, low quality tweets. Again, completely subjective definition, could mean absolutely anything. Of course, we know the people who run Twitter, the Trust and Safety Council, virtually all of those organizations are far left. Any technology developed by Silicon Valley to combat so-called hate speech, which is how they sell it, is going to have a liberal bias baked in. Not even a classically liberal bias, an authoritarian bias, because that is what the left has become. And they're censoring people on Twitter. They censored a prominent, not even a conservative, someone who identifies as a liberal but criticizes social justice warriors and feminists on a regular basis, a guy named Sargon of Akkad, who's got a big YouTube channel, you know, 150,000 followers on Twitter, gone. Censored. Banned. How many other people have they banned since they banned Milo? Now they're trying to set this guy up and say that he asked for child porn from somebody, and that's why they banned him. Complete BS, nonsense, libelous, yet now that is floating around. These people are vicious. These people are nasty. Again, they're coming after us. They're coming after us physically. I read the article earlier. Geert Wilders, someone within his security detail, leaking his whereabouts to a criminal organization. They're coming after us with fake news censorship. They're coming after us with comment censorship because we're kicking their butt on a level playing field and they can't stand it. The financial attacks. They're coming after us that way as well. Every single imaginable, underhanded, insidious, nasty way, they will stoop to it. Because again, the far left has no principles. And they attack us based on the fact that we have principles. We don't try to censor them. We get out on the playing field, a level playing field, and beat them in a fair argument. They can't do that, so they have to resort to this censorship, this nastiness, over and over again. But James O'Keefe is striking back. The CNN leak is taking place today. CNNleaks.com is the website. Washington Times reports James O'Keefe offers $10,000 award for evidence of media malfeasance. Conservative sleuth James O'Keefe is ramping up his effort to take down the mainstream media by enlisting the help of ordinary citizens to go undercover and expose wrongdoing in newsrooms across the country. He has released 119 hours of audio recordings from inside CNN. Now, of course, he's done it in a WikiLeaks dump style. He's dumped the entire 119 hours for people out there to go out and dig themselves and find these nuggets, find these clips. The media will not be able to debunk him by claiming he edited videos or audio clips, which is what they do over and over again. Oh, this is edited. Yeah, every single frigging video is edited. Well, they can't do that this time because he's dumped the raw data, and already some revelations are beginning to emerge about the real fake news. And we'll be back to talk about it after the break on the Alex Jones Show Live, Infowars.com. We'll be right back.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong.
We're back live on the Alex Jones Show. Just want to tell you before we dip back into the news, we have extended the specials from yesterday's Defense of Liberty 13-hour broadcast. All those specials have been extended and are still available at InfoWarsStore.com. Silver Bullet, Colloidal Silver, 33% off stock price, massive discount. Super Male Vitality, 25% off. Brain Force, 25% off. We have the Donald J. Trump and Ronald Reagan lithographs for just $19.95. Free Alexa Pure with 3 months InfoWars Select Storable Food Supply. That special is still available too. We're under attack across the board. We're not establishment funded. We're powered solely by your support. That is why we are able to remain independent, authentic. And that threatens the establishment, a truly independent, authentic media outlet that is beholden to no special interests. Imagine how much of a threat that represents to the status quo. That's why we need your continued support by getting the products at InfoWarsStore.com now more than ever. Going back to the news, James O'Keefe has dropped 119 hours of audio recordings from inside CNN. Already, some revelations are beginning to emerge. We have one CNN reporter calling Fox News, in a pejorative way, very American. That was the quote, very American, like being pro-America. I guess that's the implication. Like, that's a bad thing. This is the attitude inside CNN. You have another journalist giving some kind of talk where he talks about them not being impartial, basically saying that they're activist journalists. There's no neutrality. There's no impartiality. That is a complete ruse. We know it, but here they are admitting it in these secretly recorded audio tapes. There's another conversation where they admit they can't use polls from Rasmussen because, as we've seen before, Rasmussen polls tend to be actually fair in the amount of Democrats and Republicans that they canvass for their polls. So CNN on tape saying they can't use Rasmussen, saying they will use their own poll despite it being days out of date, likely to be completely incorrect. But again, it supported their narrative, so they went ahead and used it anyway. Those are just three of the revelations that have emerged so far. And again, James O'Keefe, CNNleaks.com is the website, and he's offering $10,000 to anyone who will bring him evidence of corruption, malfeasance, and wrongdoing in the press. Anyone inside a newsroom who has that kind of information a cool 10 grand is on the line. He's basically declared war on the media. He's going after them. We're not going to sit back and take it anymore. These constant day-to-day hit pieces. We're going after them. It's time for them to be on the ropes. Let's move to some global news. This is Breitbart. Swedish police discover live hand grenade in Malmo Park. Oh, really? This is Malmo that all the leftists told me was safe, crime-free. You could take your family there. You could go on holiday there, completely crime-free. Oh, right, they've just found a live hand grenade in a park. Swedish police have released a statement saying they've discovered a hand grenade at a public park in the troubled migrant-populated city of Malmo. Again, 43% foreign population. Some areas like Rosengård, 90% Muslim, just a coincidence. It's known as the grenade capital of Europe, basically, at the moment, because they keep finding these grenades. People keep using these grenades as intimidation tools against other gang members, against local government. In some areas, it's complete bedlam. And that's happening today. Over in Austria, this is out of RT, you have a refugee who somehow got into the country, again, because there's no vetting whatsoever, accused of executing 20 Syrian soldiers. A Syrian refugee is on trial in Western Austria for allegedly murdering at least 20 unarmed or wounded soldiers during the Syrian civil war, local media reported. So he murdered in cold blood 20 unarmed men, wounded men at least, and they just let him into the country. Because he was part of the moderate rebels, even though most of the moderate rebels weren't moderate, were actually jihadists that swore allegiance to ISIS, or at least handed over all their weapons to ISIS. No, let's just let them all in, no vetting whatsoever. Yeah, see how that works out for you. See how it worked out in Germany. See how it worked out in Paris, where they used passports from Syrian refugees as a means to sneak between the different countries. ISIS brags in its own manifesto they're exploiting the migrant wave to plan terror attacks. It continues to happen, yet the Democrats will not allow Donald Trump to get this executive order in place to protect America from that terrorism. We'll be back on the Alex Jones Show after the break. Breaking news at Infowars.com. Don't go away.
Shotgun rider for the San Jacinto line. The desert is my brother. My skin is cracked and dry. I was riding on a full coach and everything was fine till we took a shorter road to save some time. The bandits only fired once. They shot me in the chest. They may have wounded me, but they'll never get the best of better men. I'll ride again.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Let's go to 940 with this Ask Me Anything from Reddit, which they're censoring the hell out of. And they want Reddit because it's so big they can't defeat the funnel. So just do what we say, be nice, kind of shut up, let us slowly censor you. Like everything else, we're supposed to just shut up and it'll be okay. No! Forget Reddit if they want to censor Donald Trump. Create a new one. Go drudge set. Go create our own systems. But while we do it, let them censor and pull everything away from them. Because let me give Google and Facebook and Reddit a little message. Because Drudge came here over a year ago and he said, don't be in these electronic ghettos. They'll shut you down later. And I knew that. And I told Drudge privately on air. I said, we're reaching out to their slaves to wake them up. And we know these are enemy platforms. We're going to go in and dominate in those platforms of truth and bring people to us for this big war that's now happening. Let's go to this Ask Me Anything. Go ahead, Buckley.
All right. Well, here we go. The top question is by Metamoose, and he asks, Alex, what is the biggest conspiracy that you had covered over the past couple of decades that even you thought couldn't be true but turned out to be real?
Again, the media makes great headlines out of those. And I was somebody that I wasn't like an atheist growing up, but I was so sick of going to church twice a week and, you know, oh yeah, a guy in the sky and all this. And then I studied the globalists, I infiltrated Bohemian Grove, I covered Bohemian Grove, I studied the Clintons. They all are constantly in rituals and believe that they're communicating with interdimensional creatures, whether it's true or not. This is in the news. Whether it was you know, Tony Blair and his wife, they get possessed by Lucifer every morning. That's in the news. And they get, like, the people that developed a lot of the sciences in the 1850s in England, they believe they were channeling all those. They believe that they've got to kill everybody. Let's get a shot of them. And then they'll get all the super technology. And I talk about that 20 years ago, people laughed. Now that's what Ray Kurzweil says. You'll be destroyed if you don't do this. Or Elon Musk says, you know, if you don't merge the machines, you'll just be an obsolete. So the big enchilada is whether it's true or not. The psychopath cosmology is don't have kids and live on through them forever. Don't be a good part of the human culture. Be so selfish that whatever it is, a genetic mutation, mental illness, a demon, an interdimensional, you know, Jim Big Booty from Buckaroo Banzai, whatever it is, they are saying kill people, enslave them, hurt them, rob the Haitians, rob everyone, and you'll get ahead. Just prove you're evil. Prove you're horrible. Prove you're ready to slaughter your fellow humans because they're a disease. And you're this beautiful psychic missile sent to Earth to enslave everyone and stumble around. It's so beautiful how you're just this god killing everyone. And just it's so liberal. It's so loving. Just ban free speech. Enslave everything. You're liberal. You're liberal. It's okay. Liberal, liberal. That's basically the big secret.
That's a hell of an answer.
You like that?
I love it. We obviously talked about this a lot on Pizzagate, but this is the second highest question. Bucks 2000.
Oh, hold on. Last time I checked, Reddit blocks all Pizzagate leaks. So I agree with Reddit. I think you shouldn't say pizza.
Exactly.
Or even red sauce or even tamales or even, any type of food. Like, don't say eggs. Don't say steak.
Exactly.
Because, did you see in the news? Detroit Free Press was like straight face. We're banning blackboards and whiteboards. Because people might write something offensive. That means banned books. So, you know what? I agree with Reddit, the folks that run it. And I agree with Adroll, the big, new age goofball there and everything. I think they should ban. I'm not kidding. There it is. Let's put it on screen. Detroit Free Press, they're banning whiteboards because they can be used for bullying. But your voice, you better cut your larynx out. We should do like a whole deal where like have a surgery and cut the larynx out and go, now you won't be racist. And actually, they would think it was a real public service announcement. Liberals would go have their, because it's like liberals. Oh, yeah. It's like pour, bleach in your eyes in England. They have you taxpayer paid. You have to pay for sex changes. They don't give you, have a sex change. Just I don't pay for it.
It's like their fantasy is THX 1138.
That's their fantasy. But, it's okay because, they're the advanced intellectuals. They don't know the seven continents. They don't know basic stuff. But the university bans whiteboards, next level book burning. And that's my video from today. But if you scroll down, there was an actual article with a straight face, Buckley, where they're saying ban the written words, what they're saying, because it could be hurtful.
I read that. So Bucks 2001 says, Mr. Jones, thank you for all your hard work in educating and enlightening the masses. Your commitment to defending liberty and fighting globalism is second to none. I credit InfoWars for helping me to become a more informed, politically active citizen. Here is my question. In 2011, Andrew Breitbart tweeted about John Podesta's ties to pedophilia. However, at times you have dismissed Pizzagate. Can you explain your thoughts on John Podesta, Comet Ping Pong, and pedophilia in Washington, D.C.?
Okay, here's what happens. Can we Google the British Prime Minister, the top police chief just came out and said it was a pedophile like yesterday or 2 days ago? This was on Monday. This is what the media does. They take when you're on a show 3-4 hours a day. Today it'll be like 7 hours. And I go, hey, I get people's point. I can see how you could believe that no one was killed at Sandy Hook and that basically it was all actors, it was fake because of what we saw with other fake things they've staged in the blue screen. They take that and just say, I said it didn't happen. When I had debates on air with sides saying it all happened, it didn't happen, they're so dishonest, they'll misrepresent. So over 10,000 of the hundreds of thousands of emails come out of Podesta, and it's like, we're going to have the kids delivered to the hot tub for your pleasure. They're ages 6, 8, and 9, and they're kids, but they're going to give you, they're going to for your entertainment. They'll be waiting in that hot tub for you. Obama wants $65,000 of hot dogs. Oh, God, they're so succulent. And actually, to Obama's credit, that's gay prostitutes, so at least it's adults. I mean, it's like, please, just don't rape kids, So we don't find anything about Obama with that. And it just goes into this, And then the Podesta's brother is like, we like DeviantArt. It's like paddled naked kids in his house. This is the Washington Post because the highest power for them is to throw it in your face. It's lesser magic for the vampires and people. It's a psychic vampirism to throw it in your face. So everybody then goes, I saw Washington Post, CNN, New York Times all one day about a week into this, right after the election. They go, Pizzagate. They found some little link to somebody saying pizza, in there. And they went, oh, there's a place with David Brock's boyfriend in D.C. the Podesta goes to, everyone's focused. It was like some little comment in the thread, like 20 comments. And I went, whoa, to the crew. Everybody's like, shut up, Alex. Don't try to cover up. The crews are really liked up. They're like, all the crews like, Jones, we're going to expose this. Why aren't you going to expose it? And I said, listen, the media is focusing on this place. I don't believe there's a basement. I don't believe it's happening. You know, it's creepy because there's all this other confirmed stuff. They've got to have something to discredit. And I said, but you know what? You know, just don't sit there and agree with the stuff on the web. You want to cover it? That's fine. And then it just went so far and it was clearly a cover up. And I came in even before the news attacked me. And I said, I'm going to be attacked for this. I can see that. I can just feel it. And I said, delete all these videos. They're like, but they're not fake. And I went, yeah, but you're not covering, like I told you 2 weeks ago, all the admitted FBI code words for pedophilia and small children and sex and prostitutes, which is admitted. It's clearly going on. Don't you get it? And I'm not mad at the crew, just some people. And I get it. It was hysteria. The audience was demanding it. Why am I covering it up? And then months later, it's the info babe, Megyn Kelly, playing a clip of me saying, I don't know if Hillary really kills kids at this pizza place. I don't believe it, you know. But I went on to say, she kills them by funding ISIS, that is a satanic group murdering kids all over and selling them into slavery. And personally, she's funding groups that torture and murder. They edited it together. And then Megyn Kelly put it up. And I remember calling Fox. And it was more than that. She quit right after that. I'm saying we did that. She destroyed herself. And then she had him on like, Alex wants people to kill you. And the guy's like, I know, it's horrible. He said that we personally murdered them in the basement. Never said it. So I was like, the audience wouldn't listen. A lot of the crew listened. Some wouldn't. And I knew we were being sucked into something. So I had to say, look, I was told by NYPD that Wiener is going to get busted for child porn. Came out months later. I've been told it's all over the country and Trump's going to go after it. It's happening. I've been told that Network is in Pennsylvania and L.A. Notice those huge busts in Sandusky Sun. I went on and said, there's a big bust coming once Trump gets in. This is a big fight. It's how they control people. And all that happened. So now it's back. But I just can't sit here. They tried to sucker us in and they almost got us. With what do you do when there's 10,000 emails? You're at Aleister Crowley events. You're drinking blood. They're saying, sir, we've got buckets of semen for you. We've got those luscious hot dogs. And Podesta's like, are these walnut sauces really good? Oh, sir, they'll be in the hot tub. You're going to love them. You know, it's like people going, really, hookers? I'm done. Kids? You know, I'm kind of, Podesta's like being almost, as one of the CIA sources said, forced into it. I'm not saying it's okay what he did, but, you know, that's light years worse than Milo, reportedly. And then Milo's down there just admitting he got raped and inducted into this cult. They're saying, oh, he's a pedophile. No, he was raped. So imagine this is your pay grade you're in, where you've got to deal with all this, and everybody's obsessed with it. And I'm about to go on Joe Rogan's show. He asked me about it. I bring that up. His show, highest watched ever, biggest podcast in history, 40-something million views. They block it off Facebook, Twitter, Google for a week till he freaks out. And they finally had the Streisand effect where they're like, okay, we can't block it. Well, then we had $3.3 million on Google last year. It sounds like a lot of money. That doesn't fund the bandwidth for a year, okay? IT for a year. I need that money. We're running that $3 million is like $200,000 in 1980. They come and hit us and say, you're fake news, you're hurtful, you're banned. I'm here trying to report accurately what's in the WikiLeaks. I don't go all the way saying it's all this rape and devil worship, even though they're at Aleister Crowley meetings admitting it's devil worship. No one focuses on the real thing, and then we're being shut down. So everybody wants us to do this. I get it. But, you know, what are we supposed to do? You don't see Sean Hannity. I'm not bashing Hannity. He's not one of them, I don't think. But the point is, we're not here to, like, just be able to just run off and just make crap up. And then, meanwhile, we can put it up. The British Prime Minister, top police chief, says he's a pedophile. I talked about that 15 years ago. All this stuff with Jimmy Savile, all this stuff comes out. Sandusky, all the real pedophile comes out. All the real pedophile reports. Nobody cares. People don't care if I cover that. They love some nebulous pizza place in a basement that doesn't exist because the New York Times went, the crazies think there's something in this pizza place, and then sicked everyone on it to make that the big diversion. Yeah, but it was also like in major British newspapers. There it is. UK police chief, former British PM, was huge pedophile. Well, let me tell you what I was told about that. Let's scroll down. I'll read the article for folks. Now look at those shark eyes, man. In 4 weeks since Donald Trump's inauguration, there have been a record number of human trafficking arrests. Who broke all this? See, I'm not bragging. We told you this before the election, including the largest bust in U.S. history, which received virtually no MSM attention. 1,500 suspects have been taken down. Hundreds of kids caught in slave dungeons, including high-profiled serial child molester Jerry Sandusky's adopted son, who was a procurer, reportedly. Jerry Sandusky was arrested a week ago on charges of sexually assaulting 2 months and sending Anthony Weiner text. And then it goes on, them grabbing kids out of Haiti, all the rest of it. But again, then all this happens. Let's get the prime minister. The investigation into Sir Edward. Yeah, it's down there. It's down there. Thanks. You guys are great. Investigator Sir Edward, called Operation Conifer, was set up in 2015. British intelligence wants to bust these people. Most of them aren't pedophiles. You know, people do some corrupt stuff. But when you start talking about grabbing kids, raping kids, and killing kids, so let me explain. The Renfields grab kids. The goblins, I call them. I've been introducing people to that term. They just want to rape them. The vampires want to drink their blood. And that sounds crazy, but in all the devil worship and the stuff comes out, that's what they do. In all, Zavella is believed to have abused 500 girls and boys, some as young as 2, between 13 and 15, as well as countless adults with unfettered access to Leeds General Infirmary, where he raped the children, including dead ones. Service said report he raped and fondled boys, girls, and women in offices and corridors. He officially committed sexual acts on dead bodies. And they found his whole satanic command base. I was told by members of high-level BBC broadcasting that they wouldn't join this because they weren't just raping the kids. They would put plastic out and bring like a 5-year-old girl they kidnapped in. And this was almost on a daily basis. And then they would slit at their throat, and then the British prime minister would do this. Now, again, we're not supposed to tell you about this. We're just supposed to sit here and then like, oh, shut up, Alex. The internet will always be free. It'll be there. No, they just hit us for $5 million. They go, what is it, $5 million to $3.3? $3.3 last year, $5 million on the graph this year. That is the money we have to be able to continue and have a cushion and expand. The point is, that's why you should flood us. Everyone watching should go buy Supermel Vitality and experience what it does. If it doesn't work for you, you don't lose anything, it's great. But I want you to take it because you'll love it. We have a 4.8 reviews on third-party sites. Get Brain Force. Get X2. Get Caveman Bone Broth Turmeric. Incredible. Talk about whey. This is 20 times better. Get the Storable Foods with the free water filter. Get it. Just flood us. Listen. If you want us to be kamikazes against these people and hit pay dirt and expose them, and I told you there'd be mass pedophile roundups 3 months ago, and it's all happening like I told you, then realize, yes, I'm a maniac. Yes, I don't come off like some coiffed, organized, focused ass that thinks he's better than everybody. I'm real. I have been up since 6 a.m. fighting. I am turning everything over I've got. I am turning my will over to find these people. I have a family that it can be, you don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. And then don't worry, God's on our side. It'll be dealt with. But the forces of evil have literally crawled up out of hell to stop us. And we're going to defeat them. But yes, you should take every article and every video and every day you're allowed to share links as godsend, because the censorship worldwide against everybody is intensifying. And everybody in the conservative, libertarian, or nationalist, or virile movement like Breitbart or Daily Caller having their stuff taken away, and I've talked to them, they're too strong. We'll just figure something else out, or we'll try to work it out. No, that's the problem with patriots or men that are masculine who aren't pedophiles, is that we sit there and take this crap instead of saying, help us. Help us. You want us to help you? Help us. Listen, I have a responsibility to beat these people. I hate seeing them win. I hate seeing them get away with this. I hate seeing it. My flesh wants to quit. You think I want to run this big monster and involved in all this and put myself in this position? But here's the thing. Those kids demanded, those children demanded, and everybody now knows, from Breitbart to Drudge to Zero Hedge, they all heard me lay it out. They all know the intel's real. I told you Hillary was collapsing every 30 minutes. We caught it on tape. Millie was there, and we have it all. Let me tell you something. We're there, folks. We have the former Intelligence Committee people calling us. They've been on just yesterday. We have the zeitgeist, because in a world of cowards, there's still some men left. And I don't say that with pleasure. Like, oh, look, I'm this big man, willing to die, willing to go to the mattresses, willing to fight to the death. Look at me. I'm the best man here. We got in this position because men stopped being men and stopped admitting evil existed. So InfoWarsStore.com, You know, quite frankly, $500,000, we made $1 million last day. $500,000 of it is, quote, profit, when we're already $3, $4 million behind because of these criminals and all their slimy shit. Because we're not, because we're not even supposed to be able to put an ad on the internet they own and control, because we're fake, because we don't sit there and grab kids out of backyards and rape them and then cut their throats. See, we are fake because we see who they are. So, that's the big warning I've gotten. All of it. Just shut up. Go away. Trump's been told, shut up. Go away. Let Jerry Epstein and his Lolita Express and the Clintons sit there and do it. Hey, you're not going to get off people's backs. You're not going to take the scalps you already got. Take that.
Federal agents, we are armed. What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away to?
An inanimate corpse without the prayers and support of listeners. And so my soul wants to fight them. But when you pray, when you financially support us, when you spread the links, it raises up my arm. And when you get enraged and focused with God's strength, then I get animated. Then, just like Trump, I can fire breathe against the enemy. But only then, you are the strength. You have the will, but you have to decide it's not just entertainment and you're in the arena and you're taking action. Let's go for like a long time. Let's take calls. Go ahead. I mean, or let's take these questions because I want to get to these. Again, we're live. We're doing a 13-hour live broadcast till midnight central because we're being hit and everybody else is hit. And they're all scared, I've learned. Everybody that Drudge is scared to talk about the censorship. And I'm not trying to laud Drudge. He's the one. There are not many men around here, which makes me feel like a bucket of crap, man. I want to be surrounded by men. I want bigger men than me to stand up for me. I'm tired of having to do this. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I want some real men to stand up. Where are you? Where are you? What you going to do? I've been doing this a while. I've been running up against a bunch of the most evil people there are. You think that's fun psychically? But you know what? I think about the children, and I've got unlimited strength after that, but it makes me sick to see how asleep people are. Go ahead.
Okay, so Nala Spy says, hello, Mr. Jones, longtime listener, first-time caller. Two questions for you. Any plans on getting an InfoWars person in the White House press briefing room for daily briefings? And second, do you think Evan McMuffin is behind the leaking and inquisition of Milo?
You're talking about the CIA scumbag out of Utah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy, just look at him. He's everything we stand against. I mean, I don't know. His boss came out and said, Trump better watch his mouth. It's just like, you know, that guy's a puppet. What was the first question?
First question was, any plans on getting an InfoWars person in the White House press briefing?
Yeah, you know, how this works is they turn everything into a big event. Like, we need to get a White House press pass so we then finally matter. So first, like, we're junior, and when you get that, you'll be big. The danger is if we put people in the White House and they don't do their job, then we've lost our soul. So it's not cool to be in Washington. It's not cool to be up front asking the questions. But we have a responsibility. If we have people like Jerome Corsi, three-time number one New York Times bestseller journalist, fought NAFTA, fought GATT like nobody else other than Ron Paul, you know, it's an honor to have him. And so I'm in D.C. You're there. We're there. I get run into by Trump people. And they say, oh, we love Paul Watson. He needs to be the White House correspondent. And I call Paul. This is my life. You want the whole full story? Because there is no, like, angle or spin. It's what happened. People always want some spin. Listeners get the fact they're just getting what happened. Figure out what you want out of it, because I don't even know. So I talked to some of the senior Trump people that I just run into. I'm recognizing them from TV. They're like, hey, we like you, but we really want Paul Watson. Because they get, you know, viral with the youth, you know, absolutely dominant, good-looking, 6'3". You know, we want Paul Watson. So I go, okay, yeah. So I call Paul, get back Sunday. Got back Saturday, call him Sunday. He goes, I don't want to go. My girlfriend live here in London. London Bureau. So number one, it's not like I'm trying to get them. What they want's already unavailable. Because I don't enslave people and order people to do stuff. Paul's working 18 hours a day. So I say, okay. All right. So then I get to show up at the office and people are like running around going, we want to be it. I'm like, there has to be a process. We have to have an office there. And then stuff goes on without me knowing. Somebody files it. They don't live there yet. And then that comes back. And then meanwhile, Corsi's filing. He's moved there. They're like, well, we have two filings. So the news goes, Jones is lying. He was refused his credentials. And the White House goes, no, we've not got him yet. We're waiting. So the answer is, A, we don't need them. B, it's kind of a responsibility. Even if the optics aren't what we want, spiritually we're pure. So sure, get somebody in there, which they're horrified of. So then I think, oh my God, this actually makes sense. I mean, of course, she's been friends with Trump 42 years. They did business deals together. They met late last year when he was president-elect. I mean, they had, you know, dinner. I mean, it's like they're sitting there acting like, you know, but again, it's all about Trump being blocked by everybody. You see, he's got to sneak off to Mar-a-Lago to even try to call people. Oh, let's leave it at that. And so it's like I'm waiting. Oh, and the problem is I'm not actually keeping my phone on. It's the big news. I'm thinking of that.
Visit GCNlive.com today.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Thursday, February the 23rd, 2017. I'm David Knight. We have some interesting guests who are going to be joining us later in the show. We have in the next segment Bruce Fine. Of course, he was appointed to be a general counsel for the FCC. And his capacity there, he was instrumental in dropping the fairness doctrine, which really gave birth to talk radio. And so this is a guy who's been on the side of freedom. He was involved with representing Ed Snowden's parents against the NSA surveillance, the Orwellian surveillance. He's worked with Rand Paul and talking about the warrantless searches of Mr. and Mrs. Verizon. This is going to be an interesting discussion. He's going to talk to us about the current state of government. And we're also going to be joined later in the third hour with James Wesley Rawls. He has survivalblog.com, and he's going to talk to us about ways that you can securely transmit information. And when I saw that, it had an interesting connection with this story that we see on the Drudge Report today about a Danish man who filmed himself burning the Quran and now being charged with blasphemy. This is a crime that is no one's been charged with in Denmark for 46 years. And this was a video that he recorded in 2015, December 2015. So here they are, 14 months later, charging him for a crime that they have now decided it's essentially a new crime because they haven't, it's an obscure thing that's on the book. So now they're coming after him. So here's the deal, folks. You want to put stuff out there on social media? You want to transmit emails? Put data on the cloud? Understand that you're creating a dossier on yourself to be prosecuted in the future for things that become crimes in the future. Well, this is disturbing on a number of levels. It's not just the fact that they're shutting down his freedom of speech. It's not just the fact that the Danes have this wrong. You know, one of the things that President Grant said was the best way to get rid of a bad law is to vigorously enforce it. Maybe they'll realize that they got this all wrong. The government is not there to defend a religion. The government is there to defend your free speech and your free exercise of your religion. And he was exercising his free speech as he was showing scorn for the other religion. He has a right to do that. That's the way we understand this in the United States. But of course, that may not be the understanding in the future. So you need to make sure that you are not on social media. So we're going to talk to James Wesley Rawls about that. Now, in the ongoing attack, and every day it's a new high-profile attack on Alex Jones, 2 days ago, we had Google and their surrogate AdRoll say we're not going to carry your ads. Then we see that Homeland, the drama that's on television, has created an Alex Jones character, and they're going to tie him into somebody who's presumably going to go crazy and commit an act of terrorism. And now we've got Stephen Colbert coming after Alex Jones, calling him President Trump's caps lock advisor. Because, you know, you're not supposed to raise your voice. You're not supposed to ever express passion. And, of course, don't ever, ever question the government's official story, because then they'll call you a conspiracy theorist. Yeah, we're not going to be cowed down by this. But this is them coming to Edison. Of course, the article that Paul Joseph Watson put out about the Homeland attack on and smear on Alex Jones, the guy gives a spot-on impersonation of Alex when he's passionate. And as Watson pointed out, It says two things. Number one, it says that we're part of the zeitgeist and they can't ignore us. Number two, they can't defeat us with the news. Because when MSNBC and these other people at Morning Joe come in and Mika Brzezinski says, Trump could tell people control what people think. That's our job. Our job as a media is to control what people think. And I said last night when we were talking about this, I said, that's not what we see as our job here at InfoWars. Our job is not to control what you think. Our job is to help you to think, to encourage you to think, to give you the facts that the people who are trying to control you don't want you to see, to get you to question authority. Instead, they call us conspiracy theorists when we question their official story. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Bruce Fine.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Thursday, February the 23rd, 2017. We're going to be talking to Bruce Fine. Anybody that doesn't know who Bruce Fine is at this point, this is going to be an interesting half hour. Of course, he was appointed general counsel for the FCC, and in that capacity, he spearheaded the effort to remove the fairness doctrine. See, if you want free speech, as the First Amendment says, you've got to get government out of the way. And once they did that by repealing the fairness doctrine, it gave birth to talk radio. Then he assisted Congressman Bob Barr in drafting articles of impeachment against Bill Clinton for committing perjury. Yeah, that's right. Bill Clinton was not impeached for having an affair, folks. In spite of all of the efforts of Ken Starr and the mainstream media to make you think that, he was impeached for perjury. Then he went on to serve on the American Bar Association's Task Force on Presidential Signing Statements. He's represented Ed Snowden's parents and the surveillance of American citizens with the NSA, the unconstitutional surveillance. Also worked with Rand Paul on that issue. And talking about the metadata collection program, when they tell you that metadata is not important, don't believe them. It is the most important thing. It is far more important than listening to your conversations or reading your emails. With metadata, they can put together an entire profile on you. That is the fastest growing area of surveillance, is metadata. And of course, they do that under the Section 215 of the Patriot Act. And you might remember when we had Michael Hayden go to Washington and Lee Law School and brag about the fact that he said, I didn't need any Section 215 to spy on people. I had a direct order from the president. So he didn't care about the Patriot Act. He doesn't care about the Constitution. If he gets an order from the president, he does it. And he brags about it. It was really, I had an order from the president. That is how close we are to a total dictatorship. People accept that. People don't notice it. Even when we report it, people don't care. But someone who does care is Bruce Fine. Joining us now is Bruce Fine. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Fine.
Fighting me.
Let's talk a little bit about the military-industrial complex, because we've had some news happen in the last couple of days. Of course, we've had a very unusual trip by John McCain, who has traveled secretly to Syria to meet with so-called moderate rebels there, these people who have been getting weapons sent to them. And, of course, it was reported by antiwar.com that CIA's arms for Syrian rebels were frozen for the last month or so. I wonder, do you think that's going to change now that Michael Flynn is gone? Because he was the one who was talking about it. We had Seymour Hersh who was talking about it, quoting Michael Flynn, saying the government, the CIA, is arming these rebels in Syria. We are arming ISIS, and it stopped for the first month while he was there. You think that's going to change now?
Well, if I could just step back for a moment to try to paint the landscape we're operating on, which is truly frightening. You know, you mentioned, for example, the indiscriminate surveillance collection of metadata on all Americans. But think of this. We now have in the White House, who was ever the occupant, Republican, Democrat, man or woman, the claimed power to kill anybody on the planet, to play prosecutor, judge, jury, executioner. To kill anyone the president decides is an imminent threat based on secret evidence. He invokes state secrets to cover up why he chose somebody to be killed. There's no oversight by Congress. So we have now endowed the presidency with more power than King George III. I mean, he's virtual God.
Yes.
And all that it restrains him is just his own sense of who he wants to kill and who he doesn't. But it's not law anymore. Could you imagine this? If you could kill anybody you wanted, courts could never look at it because you got state secrets. You don't ever have to explain why you thought somebody was a danger. I mean, you would be the very definition of a tyrant. But that's just background to show that we're so far away from having any constitutional dispensation that our founding fathers would be wondering, why'd we show up at Lexington and Concord and Valley Forge if all we did is get back to King George III in even worse shape? But putting that aside,
we have much worse shape because he never had these kind of weapons, did he? He never had the ability to hit anybody. And, you know, I think it's interesting, before we move on to this other stuff, I think it's interesting when we look at this, that these very tools now, it's even worse than that because we don't know who the dictator is. It's really the dark state who can take down the president, as we see with these. They're now turning the surveillance against members of his cabinet who would oppose them in their secret wars.
Well, true enough, but remember, the president still, and I've been through every presidency for 50 years with Nixon, and the president does it, it means not illegal. You know, Donald Trump could fire, if he wanted to, the CIA head, NSA or whatever, if he thought they're spying on his own administration. They don't only spy on the administration, they spy on members of Congress. There's nobody exempt. They spy on the judges. I mean, the surveillance program that Mr. Snowden revealed showed that there were no exempt categories, not you, not me, not Supreme Court justices, not members of Congress, nobody. They just vacuum clean everything. Mm-hmm. But still, there's not been an instance, you know, if a president really wanted to say, well, you're fired, I'm putting somebody new, that wouldn't be complied with. If it was, then you're right. At that point, we no longer have law and we're back to a state of nature. So we just need to make sure that there's accountability. And the accountability that's even worse is the cowardice of Congress. Now, we talk about, well, is the president going to do this or that in Syria? Well, it's Congress under the Constitution that's supposed to declare war. It's Congress that's supposed to decide this. And, you know, they go to the White House like Henry IV at Canossa and beg, well, please don't do this, please don't do that. It's their decision. You know, and they run away from everything. They don't even want to decide, you know, where transgender people can go to the toilet. It's all in the executive branch. And that's totally, totally turning the Constitution on its head. The accountable members who have the most transparency and have greater access to influence by their constituents is the legislative branch, and that's where the Constitution entrusted. You know, we have, over the last decades, as we've become an empire and be more concerned about a president being president of the world than being president of the United States, being more concerned by controlling what's going on in Nepal or Iraq or Baghdad or Manila than we are on Detroit or Chicago, we have transferred virtually limitless power to the executive. And the other two branches are now virtual ink blots, which is very, very dangerous and certainly the opposite of what we call, you know, government by the consent of the governed. Because as you point out, how does the executive branch operate? Largely in secrecy. You know, what we know comes from leaks, you know, that come out, not because they're sunshine.
Which is
different than when typically you look at the Congress or the judicial branch, they operate in the open.
And when you talk about Congress abdicating its authority, they've abdicated it to these regulatory agencies who then pass rules that have the same effect as laws, except they maintain that these are civil laws. So we don't have any Sixth Amendment protection. We don't have the assumption of innocence. We have a presumption of guilt, and they can assess excessive fines against us. We don't get a trial in their courts. And so that's the really dangerous thing about it. We not only have taxation without representation and excessive fines, but we also have legislation without representation, don't we?
Well, that's right. And you're exactly right. And Congress then sits there after they delegate and give all the power to the agencies. Then they'll stand up like real brave on the floor of Congress and say, my gosh, the EPA is out of control, or Department of Interior is out of control, or the Securities Exchange Commission. But the reason why they're out of control is because Congress gave them all the delegation. It's like a parent complaining after they give the teenager the keys to the car. You know, when he's drunk, he goes out and he has a crash. Well, duh, what do you think's going to happen? These legislators know exactly what the agencies are going to do. They studiously seek to avoid accountability in deciding anything. So they say, okay, we'll give it elsewhere, and then we'll run away and carp when they do something wrong.
A good example of that is Nancy Pelosi, isn't it, when she said, well, we don't know what it is. We'll have to pass it and then find out because we're going to hand it over to a bureaucracy.
Yeah. Well, they had over, and Dodd-Frank, I mean, my gosh, that monstrosity, literally thousands of rulemakings because Congress didn't want to decide anything. You know, the fact is, if it's too complicated for Congress to decide, it's too complicated for the government to get involved in at all. They can't write the darn statute with sufficient specificity to have the policy come back and be accountable to them, then don't write it at all. You know, they got experts that they can call before Congress. I testify up there regularly, so don't tell us it's because only the agencies get expertise. You can get all the expertise you want. It's that you, as a member of Congress now, wants to run and hide from the American people, wants to blame everything on everybody else, and then go back and say, well, please elect me because I like being an ornament and don't decide anything. That's the cause of this. And that in as bad as the executive branch has been, it pales in comparison to the congressional branch. I mean, it's turned into a virtual, you know, it's almost like a mafia shop. If you want to be on a committee or be a chairman of the committee, you got to raise hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars for the particular political campaign committee that you're serving under. It's not merit-based. It's not based upon how much you know what you're doing. It's all it is money there. And so in order to get your legislation passed, you know, you got to go raise money for the party. Which is totally wrong-headed. You want people who know how to do oversight because of what their brains are and what their character is. So that is where, in my judgment, the greatest amount of non-feasance, if you will, is occurring. We have got to get Congress back in the business of being accountable. Kick them out if they're not willing to be accountable. Get people who will do real oversight. Make the government smaller. You know, despite all of the claims on both liberal and conservative sides, you and I know every single year, for 50 years or more, no matter what the pledges are, the government goes in one direction. What one? Gets bigger. You know, we're all talking about tax cuts. They talk about scaling back this or that. Well, how come every single year, you know, that budget keeps climbing? Now it's $4.3 trillion. You know, the Federal Register gets thicker and thicker. The number of laws gets thicker and thicker. Our liberty is more and more encroached on. It's a one-way street. And that's because Congress lets it go a one-way street and won't stand up for our liberty.
Well, we're hoping that things were going to change. We were able to get Boehner out, and then we got Paul Ryan in, and he's a perfect example of how these guys abdicate their authorities you're talking about to these bureaucrats, and then they come riding in like a knight on a white horse. And we just literally had Paul Ryan taking an interest in the border for the first time. That's what he was elected for. The Republicans were elected in Congress. It's one of the things that was key in the election. So for the first time, he takes an interest in the border, and he goes down there and rides around on his horse. We're going to come right back with Bruce Fein. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Fein. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're going to go back to our guest, Bruce Fein, in just one moment. You may have caught our broadcast. We played excerpts from that in the last hour. Our broadcast yesterday, 13-hour live broadcast. Why did we do that? Well, we try to fund our operation not by getting sponsors, because we knew we were open to boycotts there, but we tried to do it by selling the very best quality products that we could find, supplements and other things like that. We're going to tell you some of the specials that we have on that at InfoWarsStore.com. We have a site that is not political. These ads that we run for colloidal silver and super male vitality, brain force, things like that, they're not political. And yet, we now have AdRoll as a surrogate for Google saying, we're going to boycott your ads. So this is not organizing a sponsor boycott, but they're not going to boycott our ads. So in response to that, we did a 13-hour broadcast yesterday. We now have extended the specials that were part of that broadcast. Super Bullet, colloidal silver, 33% off stock price. Super Male Vitality, 25% off. Brain Force, 25% off. Survival Shield X2, 25% off. And our new product, Caveman, 33% off. And, of course, that is a paleo supplement that has bone broth, turmeric root, other things like that. Take a look at that. That's a great-tasting supplement there to help your health. We've also put some lithographs on sale. We have a top-quality lithograph that was done by an artist who is official portrait artist for the Republican National Committee. We have a lithograph, just $19.95, of Trump, another one for Ronald Reagan. And, of course, we have free Alexa Pure with 3 months InfoWars Select Storable Food Supply. That's a big special as well. So support our operations, support your health. go to our non-political site, InfoWarsStore.com, and defeat the boycott that we have going against us from Google. I want to go back to our guest right now, Bruce Fine. Bruce, we have a couple of minutes left. Where would you like to go with this? Would you like to talk about the Supreme Court appointment, or what would you like to talk about?
Well, I think that the greatest threat to our liberties really is this permanent warfare state, and it doesn't relate to Trump or Obama or Bush. We've been in this state really ever since Eisenhower warned, in 1961 about this military-industrial counterterrorism complex, and we need to go back to the framers. We want invincible self-defense. We're spending, trillions of dollars on trying to defend other people who control the whole world. Well, I want to control the United States. That's what the purpose of our Constitution is, not to make the world safe for democracy, to make the United States safe for liberty. That's what our goal is. And we have to shut down this idea that somehow our greatness is dependent upon how many other people we can tell how they ought to live their lives. Doesn't mean we should blind ourselves. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't arm ourselves in self-defense to retaliate if anyone has the audacity to attack us. We should bring those troops abroad, hundreds of bases in literally hundreds of countries. We need to bring them here to defend our borders, to defend us, to defend our sea lanes, our air lanes, our cyberspace, not everybody else's. And we have this juvenile thrill, we look great because we're in everybody else's backyard. But the United States is not about controlling other people. It's about having a liberty-centered universe for Americans. That's what our country is about. We are great when we give everybody a fair opportunity to develop their faculties, pursue their ambitions, and enjoy liberty without domestic or foreign predation. We are not great by building pyramids, going to the moon, or any other place. Individuals can do that. That's not the business of government. We are a government that is there to serve the people. The people don't serve the government. And we have gotten away from that with a $4.3 trillion budget, and it's thought that the government does everything and the people do nothing. No, it's the other way around. And we need to slowly retract, the size and the scope of government activities so we recognize that our true ambition and vision, our true birth certificate, is liberty, not domination.
Absolutely. And, we cannot give freedom to other people. Freedom is something you have to take for yourself. We cannot give it to people. And we have gone through this process over and over again of regime change. And all we do is leave a country in ruins. And when we try to do this, I'm so concerned about all these people who are saying, well, the refugees have a right to come into our country. Where was their right not to be attacked? Where were these people when Obama started expanding the wars to other places and bombing them to create the refugees in the first place? Why didn't they criticize that?
You're exactly right. And this is what I thought was crazy, if you will, about, this preoccupation with Mrs. Clinton, as bad as it was on Benghazi. But how about Ms. Clinton created 2 million refugees fleeing Libya, going all over Europe, all across the Mediterranean, thousands of people dying and drowning. She took a country, turned it into wilderness and called it humanitarian. Why is the silence on that? You're exactly right. We create the refugees and then complain, and how come the refugees are coming here? Because we created them.
And we're still creating them. We're still creating them.
Repeats itself. In the Roman times, they turn a country into wilderness and call it peace.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't peace. It's wilderness still.
We're out of time. We're out of time. Thank you so much. You're on fire for liberty. Thank you, Bruce Fine.
InfoWars.com studios. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
There we go. That was a B-roll of Paul Ryan riding to the border of Mexico. That's right. This guy got off of his high horse in Washington, and he finally made it to the border, finally showed some concern. But what he's going to do is he's going to use his visit to the border to push back against what Trump is doing. You can just bet on that. And of course, they talked about that when the Hill looked at that his display there. They said he's not wearing a helmet. It's like, no, he doesn't. This is a photo op. He probably remembers, even if you don't remember, he probably remembers Michael Dukakis wearing a helmet and a tank and making a complete fool out of himself. And so there's some pictures of Dukakis. He looked like the guy from Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. And I don't think anybody really remembers that except for Michael Dukakis and a few other political junkies like myself that are old enough to remember that. But yeah, we got Paul Ryan going there. And it's really kind of fitting because, as I mentioned when we were talking to Bruce Fine, he was talking about how Congress has abdicated its power. They've thrown this over to the bureaucracy. They don't want to be held responsible for these regulations. And they create these massive regulations that they themselves would never really have time to do. See, that's the point. That's why we had a Congress. We had a Congress so that we wouldn't go to war without deliberation. We had a Congress so they couldn't do 80,000 pages of new regulations a year. They wouldn't have the time to do that. They have to delegate that to other people. And then part of that is that when it all goes south and when these bureaucracies overstep their boundary, they can ride in like Paul Ryan, like a knight on a white horse, and tell us that they're there to save us from this big, bad bureaucracy that they gave this power to. But I think one of the worst things about it is how they create civil law, how they come up with these rules and regulations. We're about to have them mandate a bunch more stuff to be added to our cars that is going to spy on us. But of course, we don't have any say-so on that. Our elected representatives don't have any say-so on it. They'll publish a rule, and then regardless of whether you respond to that rule or not, they'll do what they wish. And they'll mandate that new expensive black box that will tax and track you everywhere you go, because it's going to be talking not just to other cars. It's going to be talking to the highway. The highway will become the spyway. And this is one of the things that really concerns me. When we look at this infrastructure bill, there's two things that concern me about this. Yes, we do need infrastructure. The problem is that for a very long time, we have had people in charge of urban planning who hate automobiles because they hate our ability to move around independently, and they hate our ability to live outside of their control in the cities. That's part of Agenda 21. And so what they have refused to do is to expand our highways and our infrastructure. It's not negligence. Yes, we do go to other countries and we do bomb them into oblivion, and then we do make it a first priority to rebuild their infrastructure and not ours, where all ours crumbles. But the other part of it is that they don't really want us to have independent transportation. They don't want us to get out of the cities. And so when we look at this infrastructure bill, there's two things that can go wrong with this in a big way. Number one, we can fund it by turning it over to multinational corporations. And that's going to be far worse than anything that we would experience under TPP. We're going to wind up having these people, these banks, these foreign corporations like the Spanish toll road companies that finance our toll roads and then collect the money off of us. We've got one right here in Austin. It's gone bankrupt. Another one where I came from in North Carolina. Same people working on the same principle. Of course, it's going to go bankrupt as well. But of course, that's going to be the taxpayer who then takes the hit, not the corporation, not the banks who financed it with the corporation. But we're going to turn over our infrastructure to foreign corporations, perhaps. We have to guard against that. We have to be aware of that not happening. We do need an infrastructure. We do need more capacity, just like we have here in Austin. We got, I think, 50 people a day moving here into Austin. They're not making the roads any wider. They've been working at the airport for 5 years, tearing this place up, never getting it finished. But of course, all they did was they added one additional toll lane. That's all. Now, that's what we're going to see, I think, with the infrastructure. That's number one. But the other thing that could be even worse is if they use this infrastructure money to create a massive surveillance grid, to turn our highways into spyways, to watch us every bit of the way so that they can tax us to death, revoke human drivers from the highway, and only allow a monopoly of the government and its preferred corporations controlling our transportation with their autonomous driving cars. So those are the two things that we really need to look out for. Now, before we go, we've got an interesting video here of the Pope claiming that Muslim terrorism is a myth, and I want to play that for you. But before we do, one of the things that we were talking about with Bruce Fine, he said, if we allow this stuff to continue happening to us, why did our forefathers fight at Lexington and Concord? And I'm looking at Keith Ellison, who, of course, is running for the chair of the DNC. And he said, we need to begin investigations on impeaching Trump. Really? Really? For this ridiculous thing, saying that because he has some foreign business interests with hotels, that he is now receiving payments from foreign governments. Come on, that is such an absurd stretch. But I think Keith Ellison, Congressman Keith Ellison, is the one who needs to be impeached. He needs to be impeached for his opposition to the Second Amendment. And this came up in a program that happened just in the last day or so. But before we get to that, I just, you know, if you're going to come after the Second Amendment, if you're going to say we need to come after the Second Amendment, which he did when he was on with Bill Maher, and Dana Bash called him on this, if you're going to say that we have to do that, what about impeaching him for violating his oath to uphold the Constitution that he took on the Quran? Keith Ellison was the first one to take his oath to the Constitution on the Quran. See, one of the reasons that we do it on the Bible, even people who are not believers in Christianity, one of the reasons we do that is because our government is based on the principles that are in the Bible, the Judeo-Christian principles that are in the Bible. They're not based on the Quran. It's not based on Sharia law. So that's one of the reasons why we have that done. But let's talk about his opposition to that very Constitution that he took an oath to. Breitbart reports about how during Wednesday's Democrat leadership debate on CNN, DNC chair candidate Keith Ellison was questioned by Dana Bash about his comment on HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher in 2014, where he said he wished the Democrat Party would come against the Second Amendment. He said, I remember that very well, he said to her when she asked him. He said, what I talked about was my grandfather's shotgun and the fact that I'm a turkey hunter. And she pushed back, and good for her. She said, well, I'll read you exactly what was said. Bill Maher said, then, why doesn't your party come out against the Second Amendment? It's the problem. And your response was, I sure wish they would. I sure wish they would. Now, let's look at the bigger context that's here in the Breitbart article. Before that, he said, I'm for gun control, but I don't think you've got to eliminate ownership of all guns in order to get some common sense gun rules. I mean, 27 children were just mowed down. Isn't that enough? One of our own colleagues, Gabby Giffords, was shot in the face. And then Maher asked, then why doesn't your party come out against the Second Amendment? It's the problem. And he says, I sure wish they would. I sure wish they would. And then after that, Maher said, common sense gun safety is BS. It means that there are 3,000 types of guns available in the U.S. and you want to ban about 200 of them. And Ellison said, no, what it means is that if you want to have grandpa's shotgun, have it. But get rid of the crazy military-style assault weapons. Well, let me explain something to you. When the Second Amendment was written, all guns were assault weapons, and they still are, folks. But all guns were military weapons. Black powder rifles, black powder muzzles, they didn't have shotguns even at that time. Okay, so that's a modern weapon. Let's get excited about that. But they were all military weapons. When they went to Lexington and Concord, they weren't just coming after the rifles and muskets. They were coming after cannons. That's what the militia had. That's what a free people have. They have the means to protect themselves against an invading army, whether that's an army of their own government or an army from a foreign government. Enemies, domestic or foreign, they had a cannon. When you look at the Texas flag, the come and take it flag, what's on that flag? Is it a musket? No, it's a cannon. Santa Anna came after the cannons, okay? That's what he was coming after. That's why they put that up there. So it's about military weapons. You can even go back to one of the first sham rulings of the Supreme Court on the Second Amendment. It was a case where they busted a guy for a sawed-off shotgun, and they said it wasn't a military weapon. Well, that's a flat-out lie. During the Civil War, they used sawed-off shotguns. That's what the guys who really did the damage were using. They said, hey, you know what? Instead of a saber, we can take a sawed-off shotgun and ride our horse through the lines of infantry. And that was very, very effective. So it had been used, and it had been used in World War I. It was a military weapon. And they went ahead with that court case, even though the defendant who was going to protest that, he died. And they continued on with that because they wanted to establish a precedent. They wanted to come after the Second Amendment, like Keith Ellison. So Keith Ellison is the one who ought to be impeached for violating his oath to the Constitution that he took on the Quran for the first time. But let's go to the Pope. Let's play this clip that we've got of the Pope talking about Muslim terrorism being a myth. And I'm going to, the first part of this is in Italian, so I need to read the subtitles to you. And I think I'm going to use my Father Guido Sarducci, my worst impression of Father Guido Sarducci from Saturday Night Live. when I do this, because I want you to know that it's his words and not mine. And I want to emphasize the fact that when the Pope starts talking about politics or science, he is speaking ex cathedra. He doesn't have the authority of the church, and Catholics understand what that means. In fact, when the Pope speaks on politics and science, he himself is mocking his office, in my opinion, and he is opening himself up not only for criticism, but for outright ridicule. So let's play this video of the Pope explaining to us how Muslim terrorism is really simply a myth.
Muchos piensan distinto.
Many think differently, feel differently, seeking a God for meeting God in different ways. Into this crowd, into this range of religions, there is only one certainty we have for all. There is the fact that we are all the children of a God.
Father said today, notwithstanding new developments and the emergence of situations which are at times painful and even tragic, migration is still an aspiration to hope. The Pope noted that migration offers benefits both to the receiving nations and to the nations from which migrants come.
There's some of those benefits. The blessings of multiculturalism right there.
Pastoral workers play an important role through initiating dialogue, welcoming and assisting with legal issues, mediating with the local population. More than this, the church is a source of hope for migrants who often experience disappointment, distress and loneliness. And therefore, everyone is worthy of being welcomed and supported.
He describes migration as a phenomenon, quote, which demands to be understood and confronted with sensitivity and a sense of justice.
And we say the B-roll for those of you listening, we're watching people smashing, rioting,
while observing the law,
beating people.
Pope recalled that the attacks in Brussels were committed by young people born in Europe, but who'd not been integrated in society. He also recalled
that's
that
largely their parents'
Swedes
fault.
Is an immigrant or the son of immigrants, but they are perfectly integrated.
There were immigrants to blame for this riot in Stockholm. There is an increased level of crime. Assaults are up, rapes are up. This is just according to police statistics in Sweden.
Pope Francis is undoubtedly one of the biggest con men, one of the biggest frauds, one of the biggest liars in all of world history. He came out last year and said that it makes him basically nauseous to hear that Europe has Christian roots and shouldn't open itself up to the most radical, barbarous groups flooding out of the collapsing Middle East and North Africa. He's promoted a one-world religion. He has attacked America's sovereignty and warned us that we shouldn't elect President Donald J. Trump. And now he's come out in a public statement and said, Islamic terrorism does not exist. Merkel, the embattled Chancellor of Germany, has also come out in the same weekend, just last weekend, and said it doesn't exist and we need, quote, more Muslim refugees. Yeah, a bunch of military-age men pouring into the country. Here's the article. It's up on Infowars.com. It links directly to Pope Francis' own statements released by the Vatican. Pope Francis declares Muslim terrorism, this is a quote, Muslim terrorism does not exist, close quote, as he continues to set the stage for a one-world religion. What in the world is he thinking? Michael Schneider writing says, when I first started seeing headlines that claim Pope Francis said that Muslim terrorism does not exist, I thought that couldn't possibly be true. After all, who could possibly deny that Islamic radicals are engaged in terrorism? In the last 30 days, there have been 127 Islamic terror attacks in a total of 25 nations. And in 2016, global terror attacks set an all-time record high, were up 25% from the year before. And he goes through Christians being slaughtered, the UN admitting there's an epidemic of it, what happened in Libya, Syria, with hundreds of thousands of Christians being killed or displaced. And Pope Francis sits there arrogantly saying it doesn't exist. Just like we don't see people in New York yesterday at a women's march doing the call to prayer, or women putting on hijabs in D.C. or Berlin, are just like we don't see all these weird, bizarre Islamic groups actually leading the protest and demonstrations. No, we know the left and the globalists have allied themselves in an unholy alliance with Islam, Wahhabist, Sunni Islam out of Saudi Arabia, and that they are the destabilization force that is supposedly going to, quote, repopulate Europe. So the globalists take over Europe and the U.S., teach us not to have kids, then destabilize the Middle East, open up the borders, and bring in the most oppressive anti-family, anti-woman, anti-Christian groups you can imagine, who dress their little kids up with suicide bombs and have a march in and blow up Christian churches. It's unbelievable. This Pope, say what you want about Catholics in the past, but this Pope used blackmail dealing with pedophilia in the Vatican to overtake it and overthrow the church and bring their system in. And the good news is, not just conservative Catholics, but Catholics across the board are almost unanimously in leadership opposing him because he is a monster meant to destroy one of the oldest Christian institutions in the world. The West is on its deathbed. The globalists want it to fall before they bring in their technotronic global tyranny. And instead of the West falling, it's time for parasites like Pope Francis to fall politically, where everyone completely recognizes what a monster he is. They say the devil is the father of lies. Well, I ask you, is it true that Islamic terror does not exist? Is the Pope telling you the truth? Or is the Pope lying to you? And clearly, he's lying, not just here, but in many other ways. He believes you will take his office, speaking ex cathedra, and will then accept a great delusion like Revelations talks about and a great lie, all because the father or the pontiff told you so. Well, he is a father. He's a father of lies. And he's a son of Baphomet by any measurement.
Welcome back to this live broadcast of the Alex Jones Show. And of course, we had a 13-hour broadcast yesterday. I'm David Knight. And as part of that 13-hour broadcast, we offered you the Defense of Liberty specials. We now have those continued. If we're going to be boycotted, if we're going to have our ads boycotted, because we don't have sponsors, we fund ourselves by the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com, a non-political site, serving ads that are non-political, the ads that we show of colloidal silver and Brain Force and Survival Shield, those are not political ads. That site, InfoWarsStore.com, is not political. But of course, it is affiliated with InfoWars and Alex Jones, so you're not allowed to have a political opinion and sell anything, according to AdRoll, the surrogate for Google. So that's what they're doing. They're coming after us, boycotting our ads. And that is a massive financial hit on our organization. So we hope that you can find some products there that you can use, that you can also support our operation with. And then we have now extended the sale on some of our most popular products at InfoWarsStore.com. Silver Bullet, colloidal silver, is now 33% off. Super Male Vitality, 25% off. Brain Force, 25% off. Survival Shield X2, our nascent iodine, that is 25% off. Caveman, our new supplement there. It tastes like chocolate milk, but it's actually bone broth, turmeric root, other things. You can turn that into a smoothie, a very effective way to get the benefits of a paleo diet or to get the benefits of those nutrients, whether you're on a paleo diet or not. We've now put that 33% off. We have lithographs, $19.95, Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan lithographs. These are done by the artist that you've probably seen, the one that he did of Ronald Reagan. We have that there. Ronald Reagan in the cowboy hat, he did that for the RNC. He's the official artist for them. He's done one for Donald J. Trump as well. And we have another special. Free Alexa Pure with 3 months InfoWars Select Storable Food Supply. So we have all those specials there. Stand with us. Stand against the attacks on InfoWars. And they just keep coming. Whether it's a program like Homeland Security trying in a melodramatic way to paint Alex Jones as a terrorist, or as we saw last night, Stephen Colbert mocking him as Donald Trump's caps lock advisor, the attacks keep coming because they can't ignore us and they can't defeat us In terms of the information. We are not trying to control what the public thinks, like Mika Brzezinski was saying. She said, that's our job. That's what the media thinks. They don't think that their job is to give you information that you can draw your own conclusions with. They will never question authority, and if you question authority, they dismiss you as a conspiracy theory site because you don't question what the government says. They don't. They just repeat their press releases. That's the purpose of Mika Brzezinski and these other people, just obediently put out the press releases that come from the government. So if you can stand with us, we would appreciate it at this hour of need. Now, I want to continue with what Alex Jones was just talking about in that report about the Pope. And let's talk about immigrant rights. Let's talk about refugee rights. What about the people who came here as people who are really being oppressed? We have a story from WND. Frightened Christians lose a battle over a U.S. mega mosque, and this is in Sterling Heights, Michigan. And these are Iraqi Christians, some of whom came here in 1989. And one of the women there, her great-grandfather was crucified by Muslims in Iraq because he refused to remove the large gold cross he wore around his neck. And so they came here when she was 6 years old to escape that kind of persecution. So they had about 200 people show up at the city council. This is a community of about 50,000 people, Chaldean and Assyrian Christians, who have now moved to that area. But they're going to put a mega mosque there. And they said, we would rather not have this repeated, this pattern of persecution repeated. We're going to tell you more about this when we come back from the break because I don't have enough time to go into this in detail. But this is what we're talking about, folks. We have seen this kind of terrorism, which is what Donald Trump said, and they mocked him, even as the riots were happening in Sweden. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
InfoWars.com News Center, deep behind enemy lines in occupied Texas, broadcasting worldwide. You're listening to the voice of human resistance against the technotronic technocracy takeover. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to be joined in the next segment by James Wesley Rawls, and he's going to go over with you, among other things, he's going to tell you how to securely transmit information. We've got some things that we're going to show you here, ordinary things that you can get, nothing very special, but he's going to explain it to people who technically are maybe not into this. You know, it's very simple stuff, SD cards and thumb drives and that type of thing, a way to communicate securely. We have an example of a guy in Denmark who's now going to be charged, first time they've charged anybody in 46 years for blasphemy. And again, that's it's amazing that Denmark would have that kind of law on the books. But still, this is also a case, they're coming after him because he burned a Quran as a matter of free speech. And he did this over a year ago. And so as I pointed out before, if you don't do the kinds of things we're going to be talking about with James Wesley Rawls, you are creating an audit trail for them to come after you in the future for future crimes. Or when they decide that something that's been on the books like they did in Denmark and not used for a very long time, they're now going to start persecuting that. And I say persecuting deliberately. I know it's a prosecution, but it is a persecution, folks. I was just talking before we went to break about these Christians in Michigan who lost their battle against a mega mosque. Now, this is an area that was zoned residential. And who were the residents? These were people, 50,000 people living in this area, Chaldean and Assyrian Christians who moved to this area of Michigan to escape Islamic persecution. And I talked about one of the people who was head of the group who spoke there briefly. The mayor was cutting everybody off when they would get up and talk. They had about 200 people show up to the city council. They said it didn't matter that Donald Trump's president or Jeff Sessions, the new attorney general, they lost, the Muslims won. Every time they would get up, they said the mayor would shut them down as soon as they started talking about how they had been persecuted, where they came from. They did not want to see this coming into this area. So it was a concern not only about the zoning issues, but it was also something that they did not want to have set up there. Like if it was a Jewish community and they had a Ku Klux Klan headquarters that was going to be built right smack dab in their community. That's the way these people feel because, as I pointed out, her great-grandfather was crucified by the Muslims because he refused to take off a gold chain. And I think there's a lesson in that that we need to understand what the word martyr means. That was a Greek word that simply meant witness. The first martyrs were people who were Christian witnesses, who had been eyewitnesses to what had happened with Jesus Christ and with the apostles and others. And they refused, under pain of death by the Romans, to recant what they knew. They would not deny what they believed. Muslims took that. And they said, well, we're going to call people who are suicide murderers, suicide bombers, who kill other people, not who die because they will not renounce their faith, but people who kill and then get killed because people they can't get people to acquiesce to their faith. You understand the difference? You understand how they twisted that, how they perverted that? That's what they mean when they say martyr. And so they take the language just like liberals. I mean, they got a lot of things in common. The Democrats truly are a cult of death. I mean, when we look at this and we say, how could the party that panders to the LGBT crowd, panders to women and so forth, and says, that's how they are carving out their demographic, all these different groups. These groups are oppressed in Islamic countries far worse than they are anywhere else in the world. And yet they also make Islam part of their groups. Do you see that fundamental problem there? That cognitive dissonance? Well, they don't. And actually, there's a good reason, because they're both a cult of death. The Democrats worship abortion. They say, let's be proud of it. Let's put this out there. And of course, so do the Muslims. Stay with us. We'll be right back with James Wesley Rawls.
To an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here live in studio. Joining us is James Wesley Rawls. Now, he is an American novelist, he's a blogger, and he's well known for his Patriots novel series. And this is actually one that I've listened to with my family on audiobook. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a great dramatic narrative, but in it, I thought he did something that was very interesting. He did a couple of different novels. One of the novels was about a group of people when everything collapses in society. And I forget what the scenario is. You know, basically, folks, there's a lot of different scenarios that can collapse a society that is as complex as ours. But in the first novel, what he has is a bunch of people who had said, you know, something like this might happen someday. Let's get a group of us together who know each other, have complementary skills. Let's make some preparation for this and a place where we can go to that is away from the cities and so forth. And so that first book talks about what they go through. Very interesting, because it, as part of this narrative story, you see the preparations that they make and so forth. And then he did another book that was about people who had not made any preparations at all. It all hit the fan, and they've been the kind of people who listen to Stephen Colbert and laugh at anybody. You know, the old Aesop's fables story about ant and the fiddler grasshopper. The grasshopper didn't prepare, and the ant was always preparing. So these are the fiddler grasshopper's novel, and these are people who are having to scrounge around, try to survive on their own. So very interesting series. He's also the founder and senior editor of survivalblog.com, which we just had up on the screen there just a moment ago. He's done that for the past 10 years. He's covered survival and preparedness topics from a constitutionalist Christian libertarian perspective. And he now has a new novel, which I haven't heard yet or read, Land of Promise, the first book in the Counter Caliphate Chronicles. This novel, set two decades in the future, describes the establishment of a Christian nation of refuge. So we'll have to take a look at that as well. The other books that I have read are very informative. Now, he's here today, we understand, because he wants to talk to people about how to securely transmit messages. And, of course, this is a big deal. As I mentioned, the Danish situation earlier, the guy, for something that he put up on Facebook a year and a half ago, he's now being prosecuted under a 46-year-old law. So you're creating an audit trail where they can create a new crime, and you think that you're going to be protected with ex post facto law? No, no, no. They'll go back. They'll find some way to get you. Now, this was a law that they hadn't enforced for 46 years. It was on the books when he violated it, technically, but they hadn't enforced it against anybody. Now they're going to go back and do that. So you don't want to create an audit trail against yourself. We've got Google launching a robo-tool to flag hate speech. They're going through all the comments. Do you think they're simply going to take down these comments, or are they going to put you in their permanent database? I mean, we're going back to being kids in high school, aren't we? Going to put you down on, this is going to go on your permanent record. Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, they're taking names. They're making lists, okay? Let's go to James Wesley Rawls without further ado. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Rawls.
Thank you for having me on, David. I think your point is excellent in that what is legal today may be illegal tomorrow. And it's wise and it is prudent for people to be very circumspect in their communications. If you're going to send a letter to the editor, there's really no need to sign your own name to it in most circumstances. Just drop it in the mail and let it be on its merry way. Now, there's a lot of situations where people need to communicate with each other, or they need to communicate with journalists or investigative journalists. Look at what's going on, the news that just hit today from Mr. O'Keefe and Project Veritas. Obviously, information like that needs to be transmitted in a way that the originator of that message, of that information, cannot be identified.
Absolutely.
And in the intelligence community, we refer to that as tradecraft. And there have been a lot of different things well-publicized over the years in both nonfiction and fiction about espionage that go into elaborate detail about how to do a dead drop or how to do a live drop, or what's also known as a brush pass. So I really won't go into details on that here. If you're... viewers and listeners, just do a web search on dead drop and live drop and brush pass. They should be able to find all that information. That's basically the exterior logistics of how to get information from one person to another if it's in tangible form, whether it's a written document. In the old days, they used microfilm. Nowadays, they often use either a USB stick or an SD card, or more recently, a micro SD card. And what most people don't realize is the volume of information that can be held on a micro SD card. It's really a huge volume of information, even on a really older generation, like a 64 megabyte SD card. You can have a tremendous amount of information. Now, a micro SD card, which is the smaller one that you're looking at there next to the SD card, it only measures 15 millimeters by 11 millimeters by 1 millimeter. It's about the size of your fingernail, and it only weighs half a gram. But on even the oldest generation SD card, micro SD card, that 64 megabytes is enough to hold thousands of pages of documents.
That's right. I'm showing a picture of that right now, and you can take that little tiny one and you can stick it into an adapter, which is the size of a standard SD card. You know, it's right. Interesting. Let me interject here for just a moment here, sure. Mr. Rawls, because we just had Donald Trump talking to the media, and he says, hey, they're listening to everything that everybody is saying. If you got something important to say, write it on a piece of paper and deliver it with a courier. And so he's talking about that in a very casual way. And, of course, he's not going to be sending massive amounts of documents to somebody. But you're talking about something here where if you've got video or you've got audio, right, something like that that's recorded, or you've got a lot of documents that you need to get to somebody, you have massive amounts of storage on these teeny tiny cards here, these micro SD cards.
Now, like an older generation 64 megabyte micro SD card can hold 42,368 pages of text. Or if it was in the less efficient format of a Microsoft Word file, you could hold 662 pages of a Microsoft Word file. Mm-hmm. And if you compress the file, you can have even higher numbers than those. And as you mentioned a moment ago, if you want to send something that's more voluminous, something like an audio clip or a video clip, you can, it's a little more expensive, but you can bump up to the gigabyte size micro SD card, and you could have, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of video on that teeny tiny little piece of media. Now, a 64 megabyte micro SD card, right now you can buy for less than $1 if you buy them in bulk. So people have no excuse to not go out and buy at least a handful of these to keep on hand. You never know when circumstances are going to change. You never know when you may be forced into an underground situation or where you might be traveling overseas where you're being monitored by foreign governments.
And that's very important, it's because when you you get to monitoring other people, talk about a situation where you were just talking about some terms and say, hey, you can look those up now. If you're getting into a situation where there is a scenario where the internet has been taken down deliberately or because we've had some kind of a systematic crash and people want to have key information like they would find in an encyclopedia, this is the way you would do that. You could store articles. You could store vast amounts of articles from WikiLeaks. You could also store how-to videos for yourself and for other people that be related to medical procedures or how to grow food, that type of thing. Creating your own reference library in a very cheap, very small, very reliable, solid state. It's not going to be something that's like a disk drive that's going to be susceptible to crashing in a short life like that. But you could archive this kind of information that you might need at some point in the future, as well as if you had something that you wanted to archive that was very important from a whistleblower standpoint, where you saw a video and it was on your phone, that could be removed from your phone. Put it with this, save it with that, or send it to someone if it's on a micro SD card.
Right. And if you look back at history from the 20th century, look at what was going on in occupied Europe during World War II. And in those days, people were mimeographing newsletters to spread information from mm-hmm. person to person. Well, in the modern context, you could just burn copies onto micro SD cards and hand them out to people. And since they're so small, you can literally hide them in your hair.
Yeah.
They're so small that you could very easily distribute these very widely without being noticed. So it has a lot of advantages. Again, I'm not here to sell anything. You can buy these on eBay. You can buy 100 of them for $95 right now, postage paid.
Wow.
And I recommend that people do that.
And it's only going to go down in cost as it and go up in capacity. That's what we've seen that's going to be happening rapidly. So that is a very important strategy for people to archive stuff, to be able to pass information along securely, and to not have the government, which is constantly going through your phone. People don't realize just how easy it is for the NSA and other agencies to go through everything that is in your phone.
Absolutely. I guess I should back up a little bit and just emphasize the importance to your listeners that even if you have an encryption program on your laptop and you're using what's called secure email, it really isn't. Because if a government agency really wants to break encryption,
that's right,
they can use what's called a brute force attack, and they can just throw a supercomputer at your files.
That's exactly what William Binney said. We got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with James Wesley Rawls, but that's exactly what William Binney, former technical head of the NSA, said. And I asked him, I said, what kind of encryption? Well, he says, it doesn't really matter if we want to get something that you've got.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to James Wesley Rawls. He's been on the Alex Jones Show many times. He's a former U.S. Army intelligence officer. Of course, he's also now an American novelist and a survival blog that he has, survivalblog.com. What a great name if you want to have a survival blog, survivalblog.com. And, of course, he has tips for survival. What he's been giving us in the last segment was tips on how to securely pass information to people as a former U.S. Army intelligence officer. also the capability and the devices that are now very cheap, very affordable to use. And of course, he's not selling anything. We're not selling anything. We're just trying to educate you about the things that you might want to think about. What if you can't get to online manuals to figure out how to do vital things? Or what if you need to pass information, like we just saw somebody at CNN passing a lot of audio information that they'd collected at CNN as a whistleblower? They pass that on to Project Veritas. Donald Trump called him up and said, hey, this is fantastic stuff. I'm sure he's going to enjoy going through that. Actually, I would imagine that Donald Trump might be a part of that crowdsourcing. they put this out there and they said, we got 200 hours worth of stuff that somebody gave us going back to 2009 at CNN. And we need help crowdsourcing to cross-reference this, to connect the dots and so forth. I bet Donald Trump might be interested in doing that too, especially if he gave them a call. So that's the sort of thing, though, that sometimes you need to act as a whistleblower. Sometimes you need to make sure that you're not going to have things that are on your phone. There is nothing, as we were going to break, we pointed out, there is absolutely nothing on your phone that can't be accessed, nothing that is encoded that can't be decoded by the NSA, by other government agencies. So I want to go back to Mr. Rawls now and say, go ahead. You were telling us about how to pass information securely, and we're also going to talk about counterintelligence and the recent White House leaks as well. But let's finish up with what you had to say. Sure. About passing information.
Well, David, the other thing I wanted to emphasize is the importance of having multiple platforms and dedicated platforms for different tasks. I think everyone who's in the Patriot movement should own three different laptops. And nowadays, you can buy used laptops for as little as $30 or $40 for one that has an operating system and a copy of Microsoft Word and a web browser on it. So there's really no excuse not to go ahead and buy some spare laptops. And you need to dedicate them and even mark them so that you have kind of your public persona, which is what most people are engaged in on a day-to-day basis, just for social contacts and that sort of thing. They should have a separate laptop with a wireless connection that's dedicated just to research and specifically researching any topics that are controversial. And that laptop would not have your name associated with it, and you would only use that laptop for that sort of research, and you would only use, you would not do it from home. You would only use, do that research over the internet from open wireless connections at, say, a local public library or whatever. In fact, better yet, if you travel away from your hometown, so you don't even have your locale specified.
That's very wise. And also, don't make, I don't want to add, don't have any kind of wireless connection between those two either.
Right. Well, yes.
Pass the information back and forth with one of these SD cards or something.
Right. That wireless laptop would only be used away from home. Mm-hmm. You would never fire it up at home for fear of it being associated with your other computers.
Right.
And that is what I refer to as a war driving laptop. And if you're going to research something unusual or something that might be controversial, you know, say you're Chinese and you want to research Falun Gong, for example, or say you're a gun enthusiast and you're looking forward to the Hearing Protection Act being passed, and you're looking forward to the possibility of building your own sound suppressors for your guns. Mm-hmm. I would recommend you do that kind of research from a dedicated war driving laptop that is in no way associated with your name.
Or you could even refer to it as a burner laptop, like a burner phone. Exactly. Or something like that, yeah.
And at $30 or $40 plus shipping, they really can be a burner. It's something mm-hmm. that you could use, do your research, copy some files from it, and then discard it if you think that it's been tainted in any way based on the nature of the research that you've been doing with it. And then just simply buy another one. Now, your third laptop should be your completely offline laptop. And what I use for that is I've got a Panasonic Toughbook. It's an older generation laptop. It's running an old operating system. It's using.
Hang on, Mr. Rawls. We've got to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back. We've got a hard break we can't avoid, and we're going to finish up with that thought, and we're going to talk about counterintelligence and the White House leaks at Donald Trump's White House. We'll be right back with James Wesley Rawls.
And so move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move it on over.
Move over, little dog, cause the big dog's moving in.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Move it on over.
Scoot it on over.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and yes, ad roll has changed the lock on our front door, and they've told us they're going to boycott our ad. So we had a 13-hour broadcast yesterday to raise money because we're not going to just move it on over. We're not going to go away. We're here to stay, and we're here to stay with your help. We try to produce the very best products that we can at the very best prices, and it's a win-win situation when we sell these to you. We're capitalists. We're proud of it. And so we try to, when we want to fund our operation, we try to do it as independently as we could, try to get away from sponsors that we could have boycotts organized against us, because we don't avoid the controversial issues. We don't avoid taking a stand, and we don't avoid talking about the things that the mainstream media doesn't want you to hear, because the government doesn't want you to hear that. So we've tried to do this independently, but now they're coming after our ads. And it was a major hit for us. One of the largest online advertising platforms, AdRoll, moved this off. And it's going to, last year we had a little bit over 3 million, I believe is what Alex said, in terms of ad revenue from this. And so now that just vaporized overnight. So in response to that, we had a 13-hour broadcast yesterday. We have now put up specials at our non-political store, InfoWarsStore.com, where we used to have ads served that were non-political that showed these supplements that were now taken down. We have now extended some sale prices to you to try to get an influx of cash here. This is Silver Bullet, colloidal silver, 33% off stock price. Super Male Vitality, 25% off. Brain Force, 25% off. Survival Shield X2, that's our nascent iodine, 25% off. Also, Caveman, the new paleo formulation at InfoWars Life, that is 33% off. And again, when you go back, if you understand what the paleo diet is, getting rid of wheat and other carbohydrates like that, going back to some fundamental nutrients, Caveman has things like bone broth, turmeric root, chaga mushroom, 7 total primal superfoods, and a great tasting formula. It tastes like chocolate milk. It's really good. You can make a great smoothie out of that. It's a super way to get nutrients that are vital for your health, even if you're not on something like the paleo diet. But again, you can find that at 33% off as part of our special. We also have lithographs from Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan. Actually, they're not from them. They're of them. We have the Ronald Reagan lithograph that you've seen, Ronald Reagan in the cowboy hat. There it is, that iconic lithograph. And the artist who did that for the RNC did one of Donald Trump for us. And those are, either one of those are available for $19.95. Also, if you get a 3-month InfoWars Select storable food supply, you get a free Alexa Pure. So there's a lot of specials there that we put up to help you. Things that you, I think, may need. Things that you can certainly use. And ways to stand with us and to fund our operation in the face of this opposition that we get on a daily basis. Now, we've been talking to James Wesley Rawls. He's a former U.S. Army intelligence officer. He's been giving us some very important information to think about in terms of passing information along, archiving information along, some very, very cheap devices that you may not be aware of that we've shown you here on the desk that we don't sell. He's not selling them. We're just trying to help you. He does have a blog, survivalblog.com, where you can get information like this. And as we were going to break, he was talking to us about how you should isolate yourself from the prying eyes and the people who are going to set up a dossier on you in terms of trying to infer that maybe there's something criminal in your intentions when you look up silencers, for example. I mean, there's a law that's been introduced to allow us to have silencers. I think that's a great idea. We don't need to go deaf just because we want to learn how to shoot a gun. And but if you look that up now, maybe that's going to get the BATF interested in you or somebody else along the line. They're going to know, oh, this is a gun owner. How many guns does he have? Let's take a look, so forth. So that's the world that we live in, folks. It's not paranoid. It's realistic. You need to understand that. You need to understand that they're looking at everything that you do online. And so in light of that, just repeat real quickly, Mr. Rawls, what you were saying in terms of having 3 different laptops that compartmentalize what you're doing.
Sure. As I mentioned before, you should have 3 laptops. One is your absolutely vanilla milquetoast laptop that you will use just for your social contacts. The second one should be a dedicated war driving laptop for doing online research away from your home through open internet wireless connections for doing research. And that one would not have your name associated with in any way. And then a third laptop, which would be your at-home, offline, air-gapped laptop that is not connected to the internet whatsoever. In fact, you never connect that one to the internet. I mentioned using a Panasonic Toughbook. I like those. Not only are they absolutely bomb-proof, you can throw them off the roof of a house and they're fine. You can operate them with the screen open in a driving rainstorm and they're sealed tight, they're fine. But the other great advantage of that laptop is, like a lot of the very early laptops, it has a mechanical switch in the front for turning on and off the wireless connection.
Hmm.
I have mine turned off, and I've never turned that particular one on. In fact, I even have the switch for it taped in the off position.
That's a good idea, just like taping the camera, yeah.
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 Well, that offline computer is the one that should be used for any clandestine communications that you have. Say you're going to be writing some manifesto on whatever. You'd compose it on that, and then you would only transfer files from that in a semi-tangible form, which would be on a USB stick or, as we mentioned earlier, a micro SD card.
Mm-hmm.
You're using what we in the intelligence community refer to as the air gap rule, which is you have any classified information on dedicated computers that are completely air-gapped, not connected with any network. And by following the air gap rule, if you don't have any cabled connection or wireless connection to another computer, you can operate clandestinely with a pretty high assurance that it won't be intercepted. Now, if you're absolutely paranoid, what you should do is run that laptop through a power cube and then plug that power cube into a UPS and then plug that UPS into your wall outlet. And that way you're using isolated power so that the emanations from your computer can't be backtraced. It's been widely publicized that there were some espionage cases in Europe starting in the 1980s. Where emanations from computers that trickle their way back through power lines were actually being sniffed and information was being retrieved by intelligence agencies.
Oh, absolutely. When I worked as an engineer, we had a Tempesting program, and that was basically trying to isolate computers so that they could not eavesdrop on the keys that were being pressed on a computer. Because that was very much a real thing, even 30 years ago. So 30-plus years ago, almost 40 years ago.
And even when I was in military intelligence in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, and up until about the year 2000, I resigned right when Bill Clinton was sworn into office.
Good move.
Even back then, we had what were called red-black switches. And I can't go into the details of that because that's actually classified. But if you want to do some really arcane research, do a research on red-black switch.
Hmm.
It's a very interesting way of isolating power from communication systems and from computing systems.
And let me say, as we're having this conversation about how you can keep yourself secure, we should not have to apologize for the desire to be private. That should be a right that is protected by our government. But our government has made it their business to violate that privacy in every single way. And the government has made it their business to set up pre-crime analysis. So they might look at particular things that are completely innocuous in your life and make inferences from that to identify you as a dangerous person. And that could have lethal results in the future. So that is something that everybody should consider, even if they are not doing anything that they would think is edgy or dangerous or politically oppositional or whatever. You never know what the government is going to decide falls into that category in the future. And of course, they're looking and cataloging everything that you're doing right now. You've got about
I just want to underscore that and say we have a constitutional right to privacy under the Fourth Amendment. And we should exercise that right, just like we exercise our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights. We need to exercise our Fourth Amendment rights. And part of that is privacy. Of that privacy is privacy in our communications. Now, I mentioned with an SD card, a micro SD card, you can very, very easily send those through the mail, and they cannot be scanned. The contents of them cannot be scanned through the mail. That's not something you can do inductively. You can't have an inductive connection to. You have to break the seal on the envelope. So if you use just classic lapse and seal security of, say, you tape a micro SD card onto a sheet of paper, you put it in a regular envelope, and then you just use clear packing tape over the seals on the envelope, that's actually a very difficult seal to break and reform without it being noticed.
Yes, yes. Very good.
And just keep in mind, though, that by law, every piece of U.S. mail is scanned front and back, and that goes into a database. So the return address, not just the address of the recipient, but your return address is also being scanned. So it's good tradecraft to always use the addressee's address in the addressee block and in the return address block. And that is perfectly legal here in the United States to put the addressee's address in the return address area of the envelope as well.
Good advice. And it's called a mail cover, and that's something that's been around for a very long time before they went open with the NSA, before they created the surveillance grid we call the internet.
That's right. Yeah. Well, David, before 9/11, that required a court order. Now it is SOP on every piece of mail in the United States, and the courts have ruled that there is, quote, no reasonable expectation of privacy, unquote, for the exterior of an envelope or, say, a postcard. So pay attention to that as well. And if it's something really, really important and controversial, you probably ought to wait till you're traveling to drop that in the mail, because in addition to the return address, one of the things that's being scanned is the postmark of where that piece of mail is being sent. Mm-hmm. And for someone like me who lives in a remote area, that really narrows down.
That's your address right there.
Might be.
That's it. Just real quickly, I know that you've got to go, but you wanted to talk about White House leaks. Give us your opinion about what's going on here. Certainly, we've seen a lot of leaks. Donald Trump himself set up a situation where he said he did his own investigation. He's not a naive fool about this. He talked about, if you got anything important, put it on a piece of paper, send it by courier. He even did his own test to see who was leaking, and he said, hey, it's the intelligence people that I had this meeting with. I didn't tell anybody but them. And as soon as the meeting was over, it leaked out that we had a meeting.
Right. There's a classic technique, which is in counterintelligence circles, which is you create different versions of a document, you number those, you keep track of who got which copy of the document, and you just alter one little figure, you know, like the say the document mentions, you know, 89.5 million metric tons of shipping, right? And it's just some little figure that's included there. Well, you make that figure ever so slightly in each of the versions of the document. You keep track of who on the staff that you think has been compromised got each copy of those document. And then when that figure is revealed publicly or ends up in the hands of a foreign hostile intelligence organization, that number gets back to you, then you know exactly who the leaker was.
Very interesting, yeah. Very, very simple techniques. And again, we were talking to James Wesley Rawls, a former U.S. Army intelligence officer. You can find more information about how to protect yourself and how to use your privacy. You know what? Those are rights that we have. They're not granted to us by the government. They are rights. The First Amendment is a prohibition, and all these amendments are prohibitions against the government taking away our God-given rights. And so you need to freely exercise those rights and not let the government take them away from you. And you can actively do that. He's got techniques. That's what we've been talking about in this interview. You can find more information at survivalblog.com. Thank you so much for joining us, James Wesley Rawls.
Thank you for having me on, David, and God bless you and your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, I want to talk real quickly before we get to the break, and we just got a couple of minutes left here, and we'll cover it after we come back here. But there's been a couple of interesting things I think are interesting metrics about Donald Trump in his first month. We all talk about, well, the first month, so forth and so on. Well, there's been an extreme slowdown in regulations in Trump's first month, reports The Hill. They say they've issued an average of 153 pages in rules in the Federal Register each day since the inauguration. I'm not happy about that number, by the way, folks. That ought to be way down. As we talked about earlier with Bruce Fine, it ought to be the Congress that is making the rules, not a bureaucracy. They've abdicated this. That's a big part of what's wrong with our government. But they say that's a steep 72% decline from the average of 542 pages that Obama was doing in his final 2 months. And of course, he was pushing to get a lot of new rules in that they would then have to undo. And interestingly enough, if you go on with the article, you find out that a lot of those 153 pages that have been issued by the Trump administration are regulations that have been done to counter those other regulations. So Obama put in a flurry of regulations throughout his entire administration, but then really poured it on in the last couple of days. And so since the inauguration, when Trump's chief of staff, Priebus, issued a regulatory moratorium, federal agencies have issued only 3,362 pages. Much of that space, here's the important part, much of that space has been dedicated to delaying or to removing existing regulations. So and it's a regulation of the bureaucracy. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's like the Bill of Rights. When we regulate and constrict the government that is overstepping its boundaries. So that's a positive thing. Also positive, antiwar.com, and I reported on this last night, the CIA arms for Syrian rebels have been frozen amid infighting. And let's understand that the Syrian rebels, when we're talking about these quote-unquote moderate Syrian rebels, we're talking about ISIS folks. We're talking about people like al-Nusra, okay? The people who posed as moderate rebels, who were the surrogates for the CIA, and who the surrogates, who the CIA has been smuggling arms to these people. That has now been frozen since earlier this month. Now, it remains to be seen whether that's going to continue. We've had Michael Flynn removed, and I'm very concerned. I talked about this at length last night. We talked about Steve Bannon and the fact that the press was pushing Sean Spicer, press secretary for Donald Trump. They're pushing him, saying, well, can't you get, can't McMaster take out Steve Bannon from the Security National Security Council? Well, yeah, said Sean Spicer. That's his prerogative. He could do that if he wishes. We don't know yet about McMaster. What we did know about Flynn and what we liked about Flynn and what was reported by Pulitzer Prize winning investigator Seymour Hersh was that Flynn was openly talking about how the CIA was arming these moderate rebels, ISIS, really, folks. Let's just be plain about it. They were doing that. They were creating war throughout the Middle East. All these people who are complaining about the refugees, why wouldn't they stop the bombing of them? Why wouldn't they stop the starvation, the sanctions, the murder that was being conducted by the Obama administration, rather than just saying the only solution to this is just to bring them in, continue the wars, and bring in the refugees into America so we can import their wars? That's not a solution. Hopefully, we are going to see the Trump administration continue to freeze these arms that the CIA has been giving to ISIS.
Your tax return.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. In this last segment, I want to talk about what's happening with the visit to Mexico, what's happening at the border. Of course, we talked about Paul Ryan finally taking an interest in the border, going down and riding his horse at the border. We'll talk not about that, but we're going to talk about the reactions in Mexico, also about Dreamers, sanctuary cities, gang members, and we're also going to talk about the bathroom wars. If we've got time, we're going to try to squeeze a lot of stuff here in this last couple of minutes and probably the beginning of the next hour, the first 5 minutes. But real quickly, I want to remind you, we had a 13-hour Defending Liberty broadcast live for 13 hours yesterday. You can now still take advantage of those specials at InfoWarsStore.com. We have Silver Bullet, Colloidal Silver, 33% off stock. Super Male Vitality, 25% off. Brain Force, 25% off. Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine, 25% off. Caveman, our new product, our new paleo formulation, you can get that at 33% off. And again, it has things like bone broth, turmeric root, chaga mushroom, 7 total primal superfoods in a single great tasting formula. And I do take, we sell a liquid turmeric root, and it's a very important thing. There's been a lot of studies showing how that helps you to fight disease. They do these type of epidemiological studies. And so I take that, and it's a very good thing. But this isn't a great tasting formulation. When you take straight turmeric root extract, it's pretty strong tasting. This, when you put it together, it's like a chocolate milkshake. You can make a great tasting smoothie, and it's got other things like bone broth in it as well. So that's Caveman, 33% off. And then these lithographs that we have of President Reagan and President Trump. We've had 2,500 only printed of Donald Trump. That's a new one. And, of course, the one you're seeing right there on the screen was Ronald Reagan. That was the first one that was done with 700 of those. And then 2,500 of the new Donald Trump lithographs. These are very detailed, printed on UV-resistant premium bond paper, cream-colored, clay-coated, very high resolution. As you see there, they're zooming in on that. If you're looking at the broadcast, you can see the detail on that portrait. Really nice. And those are $19.95 while supplies last. We've only had a limited number of those printed. Let's talk about, we just talked about the change in the moratorium on regulations, moratorium on arming ISIS. Isn't it insane that we even have to say that? But of course, there's now a moratorium on regulating which bathrooms we go into. Now, this is a fight, evidently, that happened. We had the Trump administration say, we're going to not dictate how bathrooms are going to be managed from the federal government level. That's the absurd level that we go to, that we would have somebody like Barack Obama try to mandate that and go back and discover in a 42-year-old law that he somehow has something that he can use against people, something that was done in 1972, a 45-year-old law, Title IX. We're going to say that now you have created a hostile environment for these students, and we're going to mandate this, or we're going to remove the money that we've now gotten you addicted to. There's a very important lesson in that on a number of levels. As they're talking about this universal basic income, think about how dependent and how quickly dependent you can become on the government. It's one of the reasons why I never warmed up to the flat tax, the fair tax. Okay, sorry, not the flat tax, the fair tax. I thought it was a good idea to have a consumption tax instead of an income tax. It simplified accounting and reporting for businesses and so forth. It gave us anonymity as consumers and as taxpayers or whatever. But I did not like the prebate because to me, it looked like they were setting us up for dependency. And they were. And now they're openly talking about how they're going to try to pacify us and control us once they hand our jobs over to the robots. They talk about that as being universal basic income. Now, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about this fight in the Trump administration. The good guys won. Donald Trump won. Jeff Sessions won. Jeff Sessions is on the same page. I never believed that Betsy DeVos was on the same page as Donald Trump, and this fight shows it. I'm going to tell you what she came out with today. I said last night, the New York Times, maybe we couldn't trust him. Well, she had a statement today. They were right. There was a fight in the White House over this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have John Rappaport taking over the show. He's going to be hosting the fourth hour. I've got one more segment here with you, and I want to talk about this fight within the Trump administration over transgender bathrooms. Now, this was reported by the New York Times, and of course, the Trump administration has done the right thing. They have backed off the federal government. They said this is a state issue. This is something that needs to be decided at the local level. And we had the Obama administration trying to blackmail people with by withholding funds under Title IX, and they said, no, we're not going to do this. But the New York Times reported yesterday, and now we see reports today, comments from Betsy DeVos that certainly seem to validate what they were reporting on, that there was conflict in the Trump administration between the new Department of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos and the new Attorney General Jeff Sessions over this. And Donald Trump had to call them into his office, come in and talk to the principal, Betsy, and we're going to tell you what this administration is about, because we understand you were part of the Jeb Bush establishment Republican movement. I thought it was a mistake to put her in there, but Donald Trump wants a big tent of people, and that means that from time to time, he's going to have to come in and say, no, you are going to do this. And so let's hope that there's not going to be a subversion of Donald Trump on the smaller details. That's what concerns me, is the kind of subversion that can happen when somebody is not going in the same direction as you, where they don't share your goals, your vision for the future, but they oppose you and they're going in the opposite direction. Then we're going to certainly have a situation of a high-profile thing like this, Trump is going to prevail. But on some smaller issues, somebody like this that does not share his viewpoint, who is a dyed-in-the-wool statist, is going to prevail. I'm going to tell you how this broke down. This is reported from the New York Times. They said that according to three Republicans with direct knowledge of the internal discussions, they went to the New York Times and talked about this. Sessions put out an order on day one saying, we are not going to continue with this procedure that it was initiated by the Obama administration, try to legally twist arms at the state level. We're going to shut that down. But they had to do this as a joint statement between the Department of Justice and the Department of Education. They say Sessions, who strongly opposed this, fought Ms. DeVos on the issue, pressed her to relent because he could not go forward without her consent. The order must come from both departments. Mr. Trump sided with his attorney general, these Republicans said, telling Ms. DeVos in a meeting at the Oval Office on Tuesday that he wanted her to drop her objections. And Ms. DeVos, faced with a choice of resigning or defying the president, has agreed to go along. The Justice Department declined to comment on Wednesday, though an official order from the administration was expected to be released as early as Wednesday. Mr. Sessions and Ms. DeVos were still disputing the final language. And then today we get a follow-up article from Breitbart. And Betsy DeVos comes up, and this follows this New York Times article, and she says this. She says, we have a responsibility to protect every student in America and ensure that they have the freedom to learn and thrive in a safe and trusted environment. Actually, no, you're not responsible for my children, Betsy. Get away from my children. These people who have this transgender agenda need to stay away from our kids. We're perfectly capable of raising them ourselves. It does not take a village. It does not take a Department of Education. You know what? Betsy DeVos, David Knight, Donald Trump, Jeff Sessions, none of us over a certain age got an education by anything that the Department of Education did, because they didn't exist until Jimmy Carter created them in his presidency that went from 1976 to 1980. So it was less than 4 years old when Ronald Reagan took office. He said he was going to shut it down. He didn't. By the time he finished, it was many times larger. And Betsy DeVos is so reluctant to give over the control of our children's education. She says, at my direction, the Department's Office for Civil Rights remains committed to investigating all claims of discrimination, bullying, and harassment. Well, let me tell you something. The American College of Pediatricians, and we talked about this, when they talk about gender ideology, they say no one, this is pediatricians, no one is born with a gender. Everyone is born with a biological sex. Gender awareness and sense of oneself is a sociological, psychological concept, not an objective biological one. A person's belief that he or she is something they are not is at best a sign of confused thinking. It's also a sign of abuse.
You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
This is John Rappaport here in the fourth hour on InfoWars. Well, greetings, everybody. You know, I've been on a lot of shows for a long time. Been a reporter now for 34 years. Never been on a show before where the commercials are the show. But that's where I'm sitting right now because of what happened to InfoWars. Because this company, AdRoll, decided that they didn't want to sell ads anymore or place ads anymore for InfoWars. I mean, that's like a company saying, well, you know, we're a company and we do business, but we don't want to do business. We don't want to make any money. Really? Is that a business model that I've missed somewhere? Yes, we're in business and we make money, but, you know, InfoWars made $3.3 million last year for InfoWars and for the cause for which they stand, based on this company, AdRoll, placing ads for InfoWars products all over media. And suddenly AdRoll says, well, we don't want that anymore. We're going to drop you. And of course, as most of you have heard by now, if you try to penetrate the language, their explanation of why they're suddenly dropping InfoWars, I don't know. It's like reading something from a demented raccoon somewhere out in the woods. I mean, can you even begin to understand it? Focus on the merits of this and sensitive potentially that and political this and verifying, you know. It's just six-week-old oatmeal. It doesn't make any sense. It's basically saying, look, we're dropping you because of political pressure, because we're liberals and we don't want to be associated with this point of view, so we're not going to make money. Forget the money. We're not interested. Not interested at all. Wow. That's a new way to do business. I guess it's the sort of socialist way of doing business, where the government basically runs things and says to businesses, well, we own you, and so you're going to do what we want you to do. You'll produce what we want you to produce, sell it to whom we allow you to sell it at the price we tell you to sell it at, and we're sure you'll be happy. Everything's going to be fine because we're the government, and it'll all be wonderful. And, of course, we're going to have to tax the pants off of people in order for all these programs to move forward. But who cares? Freebies, free services under socialism, united with no liberty and no justice for anybody. So, therefore, that's why the commercials, the InfoWars commercials, are the show. Because the obvious strategy is, since you can get very fine products at InfoWars and help to fund the InfoWars operation, which is basically all about freedom, if you get down to the bottom line, then when I say Super Male Vitality 25% off in the InfoWars store, I'm not just doing a commercial, I'm doing the show, because that's what the show is about, because of all of this lost revenue and a company that decided they didn't want to make money because it was more important to hew to a globalist political agenda. So let me say it again then, Super Male Vitality, 25% off. InfoWars. Life.com, InfoWarsStore.com, BrainForce Plus. That's another piece of news on the show, because that's what the show is. It's about the commercials that were taken away from InfoWars by this company that supposedly is doing business, but they're not really doing business, I guess. BrainForce Plus, 25% off. Was $39.95, now $29.95. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com. Never been on a show before where the ads are the show. But that's the way it is, folks, because we live in an upside-down world, a completely upside-down world. For example, why doesn't this company, AdRoll, it's just strange when it comes off the tongue. I see myself walking into some kind of a shop in the morning where they have coffee, and I say, give me an ad roll, cream cheese. Anyway, if this company is so concerned about doing the right thing, I have a question. Do they ever put pharmaceutical ads anywhere? Is that part of their business? I know it's part of other companies' business that do that. So I would refer you to July 26, 2000, Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Barbara Starfield, revered public health expert at Johns Hopkins, Journal of the American Medical Association, everybody's mainstream credentials, meticulous up and down the line, Starfield concludes every year in the U.S., FDA-approved pharmaceuticals kill 106,000 people. That's a million killings per decade from FDA-approved pharmaceutical drugs. So wouldn't you expect that a company that is fronting for pharmaceutical companies and putting their ads all over media would be very meticulous in examining what drugs these are and what harm they do to people, and we would see statements verifying that, you know, this has been researched down to the ground, because after all, we, the company who is promoting these ads and placing them everywhere on media, we don't want to be part and parcel and party to killing people. No, 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 no. But we don't see statements like that. Yeah, sure, we'll take the pharmaceutical ads, of course. What's the name of this drug again? Zacazupa, Ziki, lots of X's and Y's and Z's in these drugs. Have you noticed? Exolotl, blottle, zottle. Yeah, this will cure everything. If it doesn't kill you first. Is anybody really doing the research on this that's running the ads or placing the ads? Are you kidding? Because if they did, look what they would find. So let me return to the main news. BioPCA, another InfoWars product at InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, was $39.95, now $19.95. BioPCA. That's another piece of news on this show, because the ads are the news, because InfoWars just got canceled out of their deal with a major company that was placing ads for these products all over media and then said, we're finished, done, we're not going to do that anymore. See, this is what you would get. I mean, come on, grasp this. This is like the government saying, you can't sell this, or you can't advertise this, or you can't say this. You can't talk about this. You can only talk about that. This is right next door to that, because companies and big corporations are married to the government, and the government is married to them. And whatever the agenda is, that determines how the business runs. That determines how the business runs. So apparently there's no problem with selling pharmaceuticals that kill 106,000 people a year or a million people per decade. That's easy. Anybody can do that. Nobody's going to interfere with that. Protests, riots, never heard of it. Not a problem. But selling really good, really fine nutritional products that in turn support the agenda of InfoWars, the news, the issue of freedom, which is basic to every human on earth, can't do that. Absolutely cannot do that. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Cannot do that. Cannot do that. So I'm going to tell you a little story that happened to me recently. Probably won't get through it before we go to the break here, but roughly a week ago, I get a phone call out of the blue, and I mean out of the blue, from the Washington Post, a reporter at the Washington Post. So I say to this reporter, who shall remain nameless simply because I don't want to give him any pub here, how'd you get my phone number? It's not listed. And he said, well, I have access to various databases. Oh, really? Great. Okay. So he said, well, I want to ask you about a comment that Donald Trump made recently in a speech that he gave. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said something to the effect that Hillary gave 20% of U.S. uranium to Russia. This is what Trump said. And I want to get your comment on this. Stay tuned for the rest of the story. Be right back.
Big John. stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John.
John Rappaport here in the fourth hour on InfoWars. So as I said at the top here, the ads are the show because the company, Adroll, has decided to drop making money for some reason. They're not going to put InfoWars ads for these products everywhere like they were doing because, you know, they have a political agenda. That seems quite obvious to me personally. So I will be mentioning these products on and off. And I wanted to finish a story here. So I was saying before the break that a reporter for the Washington Post calls me up out of nowhere. Never talked to the guy before. Don't know how he got my number, which is unlisted. But anyway, he said, so Trump says in a recent speech that Hillary gave 20% of uranium, U.S. uranium, to Putin and Russia. And I wanted to get your comment on that because of, and then he sort of indicates that I am InfoWars, you see. And I say, well, hold on. I don't work for InfoWars. I'm not an employee of InfoWars. He said, yes, I know. Ha ha ha. And he kind of chuckles again. So at this point, I think he knows, and I know, and he knows that I know, and I know that he knows that I know, that if he's going to write anything about this, it's not going to be good, right? It's not going to be good. It's somehow going to say that this, the thing that Trump said was not really true about Hillary and the uranium, and that I said it was, and I'm associated with InfoWars or something, you know, a hodgepodge, right? And he says, well, if you want me to email you the question, then you can. I said, yeah, that'll be better because then I'll be able to give you my exact answer. So he emails me, and in return, I send him a link to the New York Times article of 2015, which spells the whole thing out about Putin, uranium, the Clinton Foundation, the Clintons, the State Department, Hillary. All, you know, a very good circumstantial case for the fact that Hillary was involved in the selling of 20% of U.S. uranium to Russia, which would indicate that she would be closer to Russia, you know, by any stretch of the imagination than all the fake news about Trump having some connections to Russia, right? So I sent him the link. I figured that's enough. And he writes me back and he says, yes, I read that article many times. I'm thinking, you mean it takes more than once to figure out what the circumstantial case is here? A good circumstantial case? Many times. Very profound. And I just decided, okay, that's it. I have no more to say. He wanted a comment. Why should I add to what could very well have been yet one more, you know, of those things that happen. One more of those things where the mainstream decides we know what's going on and these independent media people are just causing a lot of trouble because they're digging up things that we would rather, you know, put into the proper perspective because we have the authority and the gravitas and the experience to understand these things, and they don't. They don't. So I would say to this reporter, you want to write a real story? Like a real story that isn't just, you know, sort of creepy? 106,000 deaths every year in the U.S. from FDA-approved pharmaceuticals. Or extrapolating, and I've gone over this math many times, 1 million deaths per decade from FDA-approved pharmaceutical drugs. And the federal government is doing nothing systematic to fix it. And advertising agencies and so forth don't care. They'll just run any drug ads from any old pharmaceutical company. You want a real article, Washington Post, that's not fake? Write that. July 26, 2000, Journal of American Medical Association, Dr. Barbara Starfield, and the review was called, Is U.S. Health Really the Best in the World? Got it? Don't even have to credit me as a source. Just passing along some information to the Washington Post as a citizen doing his service. Go for it. Go for it. Write that article. Then you can sleep well at night knowing that you've done a good thing. No, none of this. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned.
Coming to you from the former United States of America, deep in the heart of Texas, it's Alex Jones.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country.
John Rappaport here in the fourth hour at InfoWars. You know, we all know that companies like, we're talking social media, Google have been shutting down people and changing listings and distorting all sorts of things. Why doesn't Google shut down the Washington Post? I mean, to me, that would be an obvious thing to do. Call me crazy. Why? Because the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon. And Jeff Bezos has a contract through Amazon with the CIA. A little contract, $600 million, actually, to provide cloud computing services to the CIA. And we presume that once this contract is fulfilled, I would guess there'd be more. So that would mean, I mean, try to, you know, get this through your skull here. This would mean that the owner of one of the biggest, most authoritative media outlets in the world has a very close personal business, money-making, intimate relationship with the CIA. Wow. I mean, we've long known about the very tight, close relationships between the CIA and the Washington Post, right? But, I mean, this takes it to a whole new level. So that should mean that every time the Washington Post mentions the CIA in an article or gets information from the CIA for an article and doesn't specifically mention the CIA, in either case, there should be a big disclaimer at the head of the article, right? I've mentioned this before. Come on. We at the Washington Post readily admit that our owner, Jeff Bezos, has a $600 million contract with the CIA, and therefore this article should be taken with a tremendously large grain of salt because there's an inherent conflict of interest, because when would we not believe what the CIA is telling us? When would we not take their information and run with it, since our boss has this intimate relationship with it? Thank you very much, and enjoy reading the article below. Come on. I mean, makes sense to me. This is reality. Let's have a dose of reality. Why not? And since that is the case, then why doesn't Google, you know, just say, from now on, we're not going to run any more Washington Post stories, especially when they have any connection to the CIA? Hey, if I were the head of Google, that's what I'd say. Okay, boys, reason I called you into the office today is because didn't we once have a motto, don't do evil or don't be evil? Wasn't that Google's motto at the beginning when everything was fresh and beautiful and new and the internet was just starting out and it was wonderful? So we want to get back to that. And I, as your boss here at Google, we're going to take a step in that direction. And so I'm directing you as of now that we are not going to run any more Washington Post stories that have any reference whatsoever to the CIA. Just erase them, knock them off, forget it, okay? And in fact, I think we'll issue a press release about it because we want to be known as an ethical company, right? I mean, we don't want to mislead people. And while we're at it, somebody just handed me a little clip of a radio broadcast from some website. I don't even want to say what it was, but the citation seemed to be real, that that FDA-approved drugs kill 106,000 people a year in the United States, which is over 1 million people per decade. I mean, wow. I did not know that. And so I, as the head of Google, have decided that we will now declare a moratorium on any ads that we have anything to do with that are for pharmaceutical drugs until we look into this, okay? And we are going to delist all pharmaceutical companies for the time being, so we don't run any of their material either until we get to the bottom of this, because we don't want to be associated with killing. I mean, if we're not going to do evil, wouldn't you say that should be the case? Get what I'm saying here? So let's return to the main point of the show today, in my hour at least, which is the ads, the commercials for InfoWars products, because their company that sells their ads had decided, for obviously political reasons, not to sell these ads anymore. And millions of dollars of revenue for InfoWars just disappeared like that overnight. And that money needs to be replaced and renewed, even higher levels, because the whole point of the InfoWars operation is, again, the bottom line called freedom. Remember that word? Freedom. Freedom from, for example, globalism. So, here are the products, InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, that are being featured right now. Consider these news items and products to get, both for your own well-being and health and strength, and to support the cause of freedom at InfoWars. Super Male Vitality, 25% off. Brain Force Plus, 25% off. Survival Shield X2, 25% off. Contains super high-quality nascent iodine. Caveman, True Paleo, a new product at InfoWars, 33% off. Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, 33% off. And for those, mention it, InfoWars storable 3-month food supply. In any situation, 3 months supply. InfoWars storable 3 months food supply. Any person who buys that then automatically receives a free Alexa Pure water filter. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. Do it, okay? Do it. So there are so many of these contradictions here. And, of course, they became apparent to me almost as soon as I got into the news business in 1982. And these contradictions that I'm talking about here motivated me to call my website No More Fake News in 2001. Because it was clear to me that major media were the source of fake news. That's where you would go. If you want to find fake news, this is where you go, folks. And again, I mean, if I were in charge of the advertising department at these networks, CBS, NBC, and so forth, Washington Post, New York Times, that's the way I would advertise. That's just my quirk. But I would say we are the center for fake news. Get your fake news here every day. We will shield you from what is actually happening in the world. That would be my pitch. You know, and I think it might work better than their pitch, because if you haven't noticed, they are sinking into the sea. The New York Times just keeps on refinancing the financing of the financing of the debt. When I was a kid, everybody in my neighborhood got the New York Times on Sunday. And if you were of a certain lack of strength as a kid, you could hardly lift the paper. It was so heavy and so thick and so full of God knows what. And now, check out the Sunday Times. You know, could balance it on one finger, not a problem. What's been happening? They're going into the toilet. They just are. They can't sustain their operation. And they refuse to tell the truth about anything that people really want to know about, which would bring them back from the brink into the black again, from the red. They just won't do it. They absolutely won't do it. Let's see if I have another great example here. Well, the last time I was on, I spoke about the number one U.S. mind control program at U.S. colleges being psychiatry, because of a statistic, 25% of all college students in the U.S. last year were either diagnosed with a mental disorder or treated for a mental disorder. So U.S. colleges are now psychiatric clinics. And I went on to explain how psychiatry, chapter and verse, is a pseudoscience. It's fake science, all the way down the line. All the way down the line. To the proposition that some kind of a chemical brain imbalances at the heart of all mental disorders, totally refuted, just another urban myth, legend, and so on and so forth. They have no evidence to back it up, no proof, no anything. There is no defining diagnostic laboratory test for any of the 300 officially certified mental disorders. That's a story. If the New York Times wanted to pound on a story every day for a year until the criminals came out of the woodwork in the psychiatric profession began to confess en masse that they have been fronting for a toxic, highly dangerous drug operation called psychiatry based on no science whatsoever, would that be a Watergate? Hey, that would be a Watergate times 1,000. If you pounded on it long enough and you got the confessions and you got the government agencies and people inside the FDA saying, yeah, we knew it and we just approved the drugs anyway, and so on and so forth. Scandal up to the sky. Selling papers on the street, New York Times, couldn't keep them on the rack. Could not keep them on the rack. Would not be able to. Will they ever print it and pound on it and expose it and dig down deep into it and drag these goblins out into the open and get them to confess and look into their devious, slimy backgrounds and just expose the guts, the steaming guts of the whole psychiatric operation? Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. Because all of these operations are interlocked. The medical cartel, the psychiatric branch of the medical cartel, the pharmaceutical industry, the advertising dollars, the major media, the six corporations that own the major media, etc., etc., etc. It's all of a piece. But they could resuscitate themselves. And InfoWars happens to be an example of living proof of an operation that came from zero into where it is today. All the way up and up and up and up and up. It can be done. It can be done. without having to obfuscate and cover it all up. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm talking, I'm telling you. Nobody's stopping me from saying the medical system in the U.S. kills 225,000 people a year. Same citation, July 26, 2000, Journal of the American Medical Association. There it is, Barbara Starfield. That's 2.25 million people killed per decade. About a million from the FDA-approved drugs, and the rest from mistreatment and errors in hospitals. And nobody at the federal level is doing anything productive to fix that. Think of it. Third leading cause of death in the U.S. And these are all conservative estimates. I'm fully aware that other research has pinned these death figures higher. I'm giving you the mainstream conservative estimate. Imagine a podcast from the New York Times in which somebody like me would sit there and just say this, and I can prove it. And I'll give you some more studies to back it up. Can you imagine? The roof would fly off the New York Times building. And then, you know, that would make it a legitimate media operation for a few seconds. And then you would follow up by saying, and we're running a page one story on this tomorrow with a big banner headline. And we're going to pound on this story about medically caused death every day, every week for the next couple of years. And we're going to expose much more and name names and show you the people that have been covering all this up and the government agencies that have been covering it up. And the hearings that never happened, and the lies, and the crimes, and the threats of death. I can show you, don't have it in front of me, Martha Rosenberg, a very good medical reporter, interviewed an FDA drug reviewer, and I'm hoping I'm getting his name right, Ronald Kavanaugh. He reviewed pending drugs for the FDA. And he talked about being threatened if he didn't give a seal of approval, that he felt that his family's life was in danger, okay? Family's life, that sounds like the mob, doesn't it? Like a mob threat, like a mafia threat. So if the New York Times decides, well, we're just going to take this on, folks. Hey, they'd have 100 million views on their podcast every day as they probe deeper and deeper and deeper into this. They would become a legitimate media operation, not fake news. It's pretty simple, the formula for success. You tell the truth, and then you tell the truth, and then you tell the truth again, and then you tell deeper truth, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's what you do. Going to take a break, come back with our last segment. John Rappaport sitting in it. No more. I was going to say no more fake news. Infowars.com. John Rappaport. Back for last segment in the fourth hour. I just want to end with this, which is a bit of a departure from what I've been talking about, but it really isn't, because we're talking about fake news versus actual news. The real reason that Richard Nixon, who was a crook, a liar, a parody of a president, and all of the rest of it, was shoved out of office and impeached and driven away, he resigned actually, from the White House, was he put on tariffs on certain goods coming into the United States in order to protect domestic companies that were producing the same goods. He went off script. Now, whatever else is true about Nixon and all of those machinations and so forth and so on, that was the real bottom line reason that he was shoved out of the White House, because the Rockefeller globalists had to get their agenda back on track. And free trade, which is their economic linchpin, means that mega corporations will not have to pay tariffs. They can roam around the world, they can go to hell holes, produce their goods cheaply, export them anywhere, and when those goods arrive, no tariffs, which means they can undercut anybody. There's not a level playing field. It's obvious. This is one of the basic tenets of globalism. This is insanity. It's criminality on every possible level. That's what Nixon started to do. And if that had taken hold and other nations began to wake up and say, well, we're suffering the same problem, so we should lay on tariffs too, this could have gotten way out of hand. And so he went, gone, finished. At bottom, the exact same operation is being mounted against Donald Trump. Two very different men, two very different presidents, two very different humans. Not saying one equals the other, but in that single respect, Trump has ignited a firestorm of awakening and conversation all over the world about globalism versus nationalism, about trade treaties, about the destruction of jobs, the torpedoing of economies in industrialized nations. Don't care whether you like Trump, you hate him. Doesn't matter. Don't care whether, for the purposes of this conversation, he really intends to attack the globalists head on in every respect. That's a discussion for another time. All I'm saying here is the very fact that he was the only modern presidential candidate to bring up the issue of what globalism really is and to pound on it day in, day out, until people began to wake up all over the world is sufficient for the globalists to decide this guy has got to go. Just like they did in the 1970s with Richard Nixon. This is what happens when you expose, much less go up against, the globalist agenda. This is what happens. And that's another story on which the New York Times and the Washington Post and CBS and CNN, et cetera, could make their bones again and rise out of the ashes of their horror. It's my advice, tell the truth or die by your own hand. Thank you, folks. See you next time.